Bus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The United States men's national team's World Cup run has officially come to an end after Team USA lost to Belgium 4-1 in the round of 16 last night. Here's Christian Pulisic on what the nation's support meant to him and the team this summer.
I mean, I'll reflect on it more, but it's been such an incredible journey. Like, this summer, I never wanted it to end, so I'm just so thankful to all the American people that supported us and gave us that boost. It was awesome. Something, you know, definitely a summer I'll never forget.
Both the Guardians and the Reds were off yesterday, but we'll be back in action tonight. Cincinnati will host the Philadelphia Phillies at 7:10, while Cleveland will visit the Minnesota Twins with first pitch at 7:40. This update was sponsored by Metal Supermarkets, your convenience store for metal. Visit Columbus at metalsupermarkets.com or 2180 Wilson Road for all your metal needs.
Breakfast time!
Hello, welcome to T-Bone and Tyvis. Can I take your order?
Just want a little breakfast.
Hey, you want some crabs? Because I got some of them.
Get ready to drive through the intersection of football, food, and fun.
Come on, Joe!
Featuring producer Dylan.
Who are the five best rappers of all time?
Special guests.
Are you serious?
And you. Wake up.
For what?
It's time for T-Bone and Tyvis.
Wagwan world, happy Tuesday to you. It's Tyvis Powell here. No, I'm not sitting in the one chair, but I am going to introduce the show today. Oh, we got a big show. We got Dylan behind the glass, and we got my guy, T-Bone, a.k.a. Jonathan Smith, sitting in the one chair. How you doing today, T-Bone? You should be a little upset.
I couldn't sleep last night.
Really?
That was just such an embarrassment. For U.S. soccer, we'll get into all that. That's
you're frustrated.
So annoying. Yes, I'm frustrated.
Think about all the other things you can now watch. Now,
what are you talking?
You could be invested in other things.
I will be invested in other things, like the rest of the World Cup, because I love soccer. No, man, this is
okay. Let me ask you this. Yeah. The U.S. is out. If you missed it, the U.S. lost to Belgium 4-1. We'll dive into that in a second. But now that the U.S. is eliminated. And you're not draped in your USA gear.
I'm on LeBron to the Cavs, right? Isn't that what the thing is? I put my Cavs hat on today.
Not that you are.
Yeah,
who exactly are you rooting for in the World Cup, though?
So
it's not going to be the U.S.
I'm rooting for chaos. Like, I hope it's just crazy games the rest of the way
T-Bone,
out.
You have to pick one team and go with it for the rest of this. Who do you see winning it? France?
France is, I mean, it's going to be probably France will probably win it, but like, I'm not rooting
flopping
for France.
France.
They don't flop as much. I'll tell you, you know what? I wish my team flopped like that. At least they had good players like Kylian Mbappe. They got all these dudes who can actually play.
We got Christian Pulisic.
Yeah, how'd that go? What a waste of a career.
Malik Tillman.
Tillman's good. I like Tillman. He scored a free kick again yesterday.
All this controversy about Flo and what he do.
Lauren Balogun. Well, he didn't get anybody to give him the ball. See, this is
all right. Yes.
All right. Lots of U.S. soccer discussion today because I am a guy who did not get into soccer until 2002.
All this, everybody was mad about him playing.
Oh, I know.
And it didn't matter.
Yeah. No. I want to say this as a longtime soccer fan. My resume, for those not aware, I didn't play a lick of soccer, but I got it. Look at me. But I got into it. 2002 World Cup. Stayed up 3 o'clock in the morning watching games in Japan and in South Korea and had a blast doing that. U.S. national team had a big run there. It was really cool to watch. And I've been a fan of the sport ever since. Wait, like a diehard fan.
Is this, have we made it past the 16th round?
They did in that year. They made it to the quarterfinals.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they hung with Germany.
Was that the last time we made it past the 16th?
That's correct. Yeah. That was depressing.
Yeah.
Round of 16 is, if we get there, it's been another thing. But yeah, so it's kind of been the Achilles heel for this team. This team lost in the round of 16 to Belgium in 2014.
Mm.
And one of the things that was different in that game versus what you had in this game was you had a goalie who actually looked like he played the sport of soccer before in Tim Howard. Tim Howard set a record in that game with 16 saves against this. By the way, Kevin De Bruyne, who was on that team, like Hugo Lloris, all these guys were in part of that roster. Romelu Lukaku scored the fourth goal in this game, came off the bench and scored. That's what he's been doing all tournament.
So the people that were
those guys
14,
were kids. They were the kids. They were like the 19-year-olds that were like, oh, here they come, this golden generation of Belgian soccer. They're still good. Now, they didn't, Kevin De Bruyne didn't even play in this game. But like, those guys are still available. Those guys are still talented. And yet they have a whole nother generation now that's come up and replaced those guys. We have replaced all our generation of, like, you know, talented guys from that era, like Clint Dempsey and Landon Donovan. We've replaced them with a lot of guys who apparently have no heart.
When you Dang.
Get, dude,
that's where you at with it, huh?
You had to know this when you watch this team. So they give up an early goal.
Yeah.
Playing just like they'd never seen a soccer ball, watching a ball bounce around in the box. Three guys standing there, ball bounces free. A Belgian player's like, thank you very much, and goes and scores. So that, okay, kicked in the teeth, first 10 minutes of the game, got to recover from that, down 1-0, not ideal. Then they go and get a goal back, right? Tillman hits that free kick, it bounces off a guy's head, who cares how it goes in?
I saw it!
1-1. All right, now game on.
This is where it went downhill.
Here's the thing, Tyvus. Here's something to learn. Like, when you're playing football, right? Let's say a team is, like, pissed off that they're losing, right? Let's say it's a good team. Who would be a good team that you would say in the NFL should be pissed off that they're losing? Like the Bills, would you say? Like a pretty good team? I'm not saying the greatest team.
Sure.
Pretty good team.
Let's go with the Bills.
Say the Bills are playing.
Bills, Rams, Chiefs.
Well, I don't need you to give me a bad team for the NFL. We know who that is, the Browns, right? So let's say they're playing the Browns and they get down like 28-3 against the Browns. I'm just going to use a nice even score that everyone's aware of a comeback. Like, if you scored a touchdown for the Bills to make it 28-10 and there's still time left on the clock, what those players might do is they might celebrate a little bit, but then it's like, hey, we got a long way to go here. We think we're better than this. There's not going to be a huge celebration.
Yeah,
they're going to run back and be like, all right, get to the sideline. Let the next, like, come on, defense.
Yes,
let's go get the ball back.
It should spark the other side to get going. Yes.
The version of that in soccer is when a guy goes and, like, scores a goal and then runs to the net, grabs the ball out of it, runs back to midfield, puts the ball down. That's what the U.S. did after that. They were basically, that's a slap the floor moment. In basketball, you know what a guy's like defending. That's a like we're ready for you. We're ready for you. Come get it. Like we want. We want the because
that's
they could go
ISO basketball for the rest of the game.
Exactly right. Exactly. That's the type of thing you do where you say we're ready for you. We're not afraid of you. And then what did this soccer team do? They did all the antics of like, yeah, we're ready. We're not going to even celebrate this goal. We're going right back. Let's go.
It's them headers, man.
And then a minute later. 2-1.
Yeah,
2-1.
This is how it went for me. So I'm downstairs watching. I missed the start of it. When I get to the TV screen, they're down 1-0. Okay? U.S. is down 1-0. As I'm sitting there, I see the free kick from Malik Tillman. I see him hit it, and it goes in. I'm like, oh, that was a nice shot. Then they do the replay. I see it go off the guy's head. Say, okay, cool. At this time, everybody knows that I get into bed at 8:30. So this happened around 8:34. I was late, and I was mad about that. But that's another story. I walked upstairs, cut the TV on, and laid down. By the time I laid down, I heard my wife downstairs saying, we suck. That's all I hear. And I say, what happened? I look at the screen. It's 2-1. Okay, whatever. All right. It's not the end of the world.
Not the end of the world, but that was a pretty big gut punch right there.
Not the end of the world. So I'm then laying down. My son starts crying, so I start to take care of him. I look up at the TV, 3-1. Mm. I cut it off. I went to bed. I said, it's over.
I hope you shielded young baby Tsunami's eyes from that abyss, because we don't need his first memory of U.S. soccer. He's going to be the savior of U.S. soccer, by the way. That's my hope.
I don't know. He might be too tall.
No. He's your kid, so he's fine. 6'3". He'll be under 6'3". He'll be fine. No, that's fine. He's good. He can be fine. I'm just saying, like, this team, the adventures in goalkeeping that made it 3-1, and then...
The first goal I miss is terrible.
It is terrible. It's just like kids watching it bounce around.
It's like a layup. It's like a fast break layup. Look at this.
And the second one, by the way, was Tim Ream, who's no joke, 38 years old, getting mossed by one of their better players from Belgium.
It was a header.
Yeah, but they go up. Your job as a again, if you're a defensive back, Tyvus, he's literally playing the type of position you played.
He didn't
the soccer version of it.
He didn't jump high.
Didn't jump high enough.
He got blessed on this one.
Dude, he got absolutely mossed on it.
He jumped over him.
Yes, he did. Exactly right. Because the U.S. is playing guys who are 38 years old. The Belgium team has the good sense to sit there like 38-year-old guys on the bench and let the younger players come in and play. But we just don't have anybody. That's bad. When you have 38-year-old, it's like, the second best defender you have on the team.
The 3-1 is terrible.
Oh, dude.
Wait till the last one.
Oh, my God. This is horrific.
It's horrific. The goalie looked like he'd never played soccer.
What is going on?
Yeah. So this was an embarrassment. And here's where I want to go today. This is the question.
I could have made that one.
Well, the fourth one, too, was a bad turnover. And it's they after that, when they gave up the second goal, that's when I was like, oh, this is not going to be our day. Because if you're going to win this type of game, you cannot keep letting your opponent get easy goals. And when they play a team like Belgium, who is apparently that much better, I didn't think they were. I watched Belgium play this tournament. They did not look this good all tournament long, but they have clicked into gear at the right time. And the U.S. made them look good playing awful.
Can Belgium win it all?
Oh, yeah. If they play like
that. You think they're good?
I don't think they're as talented as some of these other teams, but if they play like that, sure. Right. But I'll tell you this. If France comes out and is stepping on their, you know what, third leg, like the U.S. was, that's a problem right there.
Why is the fan cafe harassing me in the chair?
The fan cafe, by the way, said Boner, the cafe is back in Eindhoven. Got a good shot of Ajax Stadium and PSV Eindhoven today. Eindhoven is in the Netherlands. Is he hanging out in Holland, essentially? Is that what's going on?
I've been waiting to hear from the fan cafe because I brought my daughter in here a couple of days ago. I bought her a Lunchable and one other thing from upstairs.
$8.
$7.
Yeah.
It was a Lunchable and a bag of Fritos. $7.
Lunchables ain't cheap.
Go. No, they're not.
He says, Tyvus, I know you're reading this. What do you want, brownie or cake slice?
Hey, Fan Cafe, do you have any hard liquor or drugs? Because I'd like those today, because I'm not in a good spot this morning. I don't feel good.
He says beer's delicious, too.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Exactly right. All right. By the way, we buried the lead. Today, you know what day it is.
It's Hot Take Tuesday!
Coming back, I will have a hot take for you. Was this a successful run for the U.S. soccer team? We'll talk about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Tuesday. We are seeing traffic really picking up for our friends in New Albany this morning. Now reporting about a 6-minute delay on 161 eastbound as you're heading towards places like 62 and even Beach Road. At least some much better news for our friends traveling through Gahanna, 270 southbound, just in case you're heading towards the airport. That's looking great. Nice and green on our traffic map. Also no issues 670 westbound if you're heading downtown. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer. The Beat with Austin and Berm.
Sponsored by The Waterworks.
Daily on The Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We have some areas of fog once again for the morning hours. Otherwise, skies turn partly cloudy, and they'll stay that way for the afternoon. Just like yesterday, too, we're in the mid-80s for a high with a slight chance of a stray shower or storm later on today. For tomorrow, partly cloudy skies, a little warmer, upper 80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rockman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. Your home for football, food, and fun. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Welcome in. It's a Hot Take Tuesday. We have plenty of your hot takes on deck on the YouTube chat. Just go to YouTube, 971 The Fan. Click on T-Bone and Tyvus. One of them comes from LW. Hot Take Tuesday. I'll say it again. Christian Pulisic is the most overrated soccer player in history. Stop hyping that bum up. And LW, I cannot agree with you more.
What about Freddie Adu?
Oh, that's not even fair. Honestly, Freddie Adu, he was overhyped for sure, but Freddie Adu, it was just literally, I mean, they put him in a commercial.
First of all,
you know who Pele is?
Yeah.
Pele is arguably the greatest soccer player of all time.
Yeah.
They put him in a commercial with Pele to sell Sierra Mist. Or Sprite or something like that. Like, it, that, yes,
first
that
all,
was obviously too much
Wait
to put
minute.
On that kid. But they did that when he was like 14 years old.
This was not going to happen. Okay. Hmm. You're not about to sit here and blast Christian Pulisic because
Why?
I didn't know who Christian Pulisic was until you told me. Tyvus, he's like the greatest U.S. He's like one of the best players on the U.S. team. That's what you told me. You need to take LW's advice.
Hang on.
You the one that hyped him up. He's on the McDonald's cups. You don't know who Christian Pulisic is? That was you.
Let me be clear. I feel like a politician. Let me be clear. First of all, my opponent. No. First of all, what I am saying is that when you asked me who Christian Pulisic was, of the U.S. soccer players, like if you don't know Sergiño Dest, I understand it. If you're not aware of the Christian Roldan diet, like all the different discussion around him, that's fine. But like, Christian Pulisic is a guy that, yes, there have been lots of people hyping him up for a literal decade. Like, I think he's 26 now.
Well, they need
when
to
he
stop.
Broke onto the scene, he was like 17.
Well, they need to stop hyping him up.
Well, that's my point, too. I agree with that. Like, he's supposed to be one of the best players on the team. And when healthy, after, you know what, probably when we were talking about it was after that first game against Paraguay, where he went out the first half and actually looked like the Like, he didn't score anything, but he looked really good.
I didn't know.
He was dangerous. He was making runs. He was making cuts. He was making great passes. He was doing all the things he's supposed to do.
Well, the reason that
he got hurt.
We brought him up. He was like, it was the meaningless game. That's because I hadn't paid attention to nothing until they got to the meaningless game where he was like, oh, Christian Pulisic has been practicing. They might let him play. He's supposed to be close to playing. They might let him go out there. And then he went out there and you told me, oh, he looks good. I mean, Tyvus. I mean, you know how when you watch a sport and you can just tell who the guy is? That was Christian Pulisic. He just went out there and he never missed a beat.
That's fine.
That's what you said.
Yes, this is again me evaluating, is he healthy enough to play soccer? Not is he the greatest player of all time. You're misunderstanding what I was saying.
Go out and playing with some peewee kids.
T-Bone is a results-driven business, okay?
Absolutely right.
He was super excited about this team yesterday. He watched the game. He completely 180'd.
That's not it. That's one. Dylan, did you watch the game?
No.
Yeah. So see, shut up. You don't even know what you're talking about. You don't even know what happened.
You came in here draped head to toe.
I'm a fan of my team. What am I supposed to do?
Today they don't work. They shouldn't even been in the tournament.
No, I didn't say that. What I said was this team. They should have been more competitive than 4-1 against this team. They should have had a goalie who doesn't know how to kick a soccer ball out there.
He got his foot stuck in the grass.
Yes, at a pretty bad time, didn't he? They shouldn't. This is the bigger issue with U.S. soccer. And by the way, on this show, I didn't decide to go into 3 hours of breaking down all the good and bad of the U.S. national team. I kept to the high points because there are things that were part of this team that were a problem, like the fact this back line had not been tested by anybody in this tournament so far. And that was a problem. And Belgium was going to present the best challenge for them. But I thought, all right, if the U.S. can score, though, that should help keep Belgium from just pressing forward at all times. Well, it didn't matter because defense for the U.S. just was terrible from the jump. They had no energy. And then when they did get down, little to no energy to fight back other than getting a free kick that they had bounce off a guy's head. So the only goal they scored in this game was off a deflection. So, yeah, you got thoroughly annihilated by Belgium. That does change how I view this tournament. And this is where I want to go is, would we call this successful for the U.S. national team in this World Cup?
Shall we make that the fan poll?
You can if you want to. I know we've been doing a lot of that. Like, was this a successful World Cup run for the U.S. men's national team? Because my answer is...
Let's call a spade a spade.
Absolutely not.
Let's call a spade a spade. Nobody really knows about the U.S. team. So
what are you talking about?
Nobody pay attention to soccer like that, so they don't know.
What are you talking about?
They don't know. I'm just telling you. They don't know.
Do you know how many people watched the last game? This, you know how many people watched the last?
Yesterday?
No, they don't have the ratings out for this one. The one before it, the one where they played Bosnia and Herzegovina, that game got 30 million people in the U.S. to watch it. The only other games that are bigger than that, there were 10 of them last year.
Let me ask
and they
you
were
this.
All NFL games. They were like playoff games, essentially.
This happens every 4 years.
Every college football game.
It's a bunch of people jumping on board just for this, and they're jumping right off.
Okay, but what? By the way, what do you think happens with the OSU-Michigan game? Do you think all those people who are in the mentions when OSU loses four straight years to Michigan, do you think those people were all like, I was there watching Ball State. I was there watching when they played Tulane. No, they were watching for the biggest game. They tune in and they tune back out. That's sports. By the way, the Knicks, how many people right now in New York are like, oh yeah, let me tell you about my favorite player, Jalen Brunson. How many Knicks games did they watch before? You even said it, Dylan. It's all based on bandwagon. They literally have an ad campaign, Lay's does, with Will Ferrell for this thing saying, jump on the bandwagon. We know you don't watch this stuff.
Let me ask you this. In 2022, the last World Cup,
yeah,
where did we get eliminated?
Got eliminated by the Netherlands, if I'm not mistaken.
What round?
In the round of 16. So that's
so is this a success? I mean,
no. I will accept no other answer.
I can't even answer the question.
Go ahead, answer it. Go ahead. It's fine. Tell me why it's a success. Excited to hear why it was a success.
You know why it's a success?
Go ahead.
Because this year, 30 million people tuned in to watch it. They never had them type of numbers before. So it's becoming more popular.
It is the
in
most
the
watched.
United States.
That's true.
So there you go. That's a
good.
Success.
That's
Bang.
What I'm waiting to hear.
Bang.
4 years from now, soccer will be more popular than basketball and baseball in this country.
Well, there's two problems.
It'll be the second most popular sport after football. I hear it every time they do anything.
There's two problems with that. One, the people who like say that every 4 years, yes, they've been saying it since 1994. I remember that. I was alive for it, and they have been saying that for 30 plus years. So you are exactly right. The other part of that is, though, is like if you go look at the ratings of a nationally televised baseball game and a nationally televised English Premier League soccer game or Champions League game, it is more popular than baseball. Now, I wouldn't know about basketball necessarily. I think the numbers for that are a little different. But when it comes to baseball, yeah, like that as far as TV viewership. Now, I'm not going to say that means kids are playing it at record levels, although there are just as many soccer fields in where I live as there are baseball diamonds.
Did your kids play soccer?
Yeah, they've played soccer. My youngest is going to play T-ball, though, starting up here in a week. I think this week she starts playing T-ball.
God so, like, bless you.
She's going to be playing both. I know. I'm so excited.
I need you to explain something to me before we go to break.
Sure.
So what's the difference between, because I'm looking at the stats, and it says that the U.S. only had two shots on goal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but then it says, like, goalkeeping, like they faced, like, Belgium faced seven shots.
Okay.
What's the difference?
That'd be total shots, not shots on goal. So, like, if you shot it, but it didn't make it to the goalie. I bet he doesn't have seven
of
saves.
Them that went to the goal?
Like in hockey, Tyvus.
Yeah, like in hockey, where they can have, like, their shots.
Shots.
SOG
that.
Versus, yeah.
You mean to tell me...
Yes,
we only had two.
I do mean to tell
shots?
You, this was an
one
atrocious.
One went in, and the other one didn't. That's it.
Well, it was an atrocious performance all the way around, and it. Yeah.
I take it back. It was not a success.
Hey.
It was to vote.
By
no.
the way, Tyvus, no. If you think the Ohio State Buckeye fans are crazy, the online U.S. men's soccer fans are completely unhinged, and I, for one, think we need more of it, not less. We got one. Jump in. Lunatic Fringe waters are nice and warm today, baby. It's like a bath. Hop on in. Throw a toaster in while you're there.
How you feel about Cristiano Ronaldo retiring?
Good for him. I hope he...
They lost one, though. He was crying.
He was crying.
He was emotional.
They got beat right at the end by Spain. Yeah. Imagine that.
Was it 1-0?
That's like their Michigan. Spain and Portugal, they're like right next to each other.
Is he going to continue to collect oil money?
Yeah, probably out at Al Nassr, which sounds like a guy who comes and fixes your plumbing. Al Nassr, my guy. Anyway, that's the team. I think that's the team he plays for. If you want to buy an iconic part of college football lore, get ready to sign a big check. I'll tell you why in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
right now. Looking pretty quiet on the north side of Columbus. We're talking 270 in both directions over at Dublin Road, where cars are taking it nice and easy out there. And hey, good morning to our friends in Madison County. If you are taking 70 east, that's a 12-minute commute right now between 42 to 270. If you're taking 40 east, that's looking at 19 minutes. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
family.com.
T-Bone and Tybus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. The only contraband hiding in Tybus's butt cheeks is a Kit Kat bar. You're listening to T-Bone and Tybus.
The Good Guys 28 Summit Racing National is happening next week. Winner receives a family four-pack of tickets to the Good Guys 28 Summit Racing National July 10th through 12th at the Ohio Expo Center. Check out over 6,000 of the country's coolest hot rods, muscle cars, trick trucks, customs, and more. Passes are good for one day. Get details, vehicle registration, and ticket info at good-guys.com. Give me a number, T-Bone.
In honor of the U.S. getting blasted by Belgium, 4-1. How about four? Caller number four right now.
Caller number four will win a family four-pack of tickets. 614-821-9710.
Sounds good. By the way, it's a Hot Take Tuesday. Get your hot takes in. Just go to the YouTube chat. YouTube 971, T-Bone and Tybus. They are right there for you. Sorry, I was loud. This is from LW. He said, I guarantee you most people can't name three Team USA soccer players. I don't understand what that has to do with anything.
You, like, Christian Pulisic.
I mean, I named like
Malik Tillman.
Hey, there's two.
Max Arst.
Hey! Bang!
Take that, LW.
Bang! Yes! Bang!
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't understand what that is. Like, I get what he's saying, LW. And by the way, this is not soccer boy here, me, a soccer fan who has been a huge soccer fan for a very long time. I'm not here to try to tell you soccer is going to be more popular than the NFL or even the NBA. Like, I get that those sports are more popular, but we talk a lot about hockey. And I know we do that here because we have the Blue Jackets, but we also have the Crew. And if you go look at the ratings, like, hockey does no numbers compared to international soccer in the United States. Like, you can go put on a random Premier League game on NBC and it will draw bigger numbers than any regular season hockey game.
Did it have,
outside of the Stanley Cup playoffs?
When we did the stadium series last year, or 2 years ago,
at I think it got like 2 million people.
That's it. That only watched.
I think it was something like that. Yeah, I mean, it was
people at the game. I feel like
I mean, there's not 2 million people there, but I get your point. Fair enough. But Rusty said this in the chat. It's spot on. In response to LW, yeah, but how many bandwagon people know all the team's pitchers' names or players for their baseball team or the receivers' names? And that's exactly it, right? Like,
well,
true.
I know my Guardians, so.
The listen, 2025.
You're not a bandwagon fan, Tybus. That's my point.
The stadium series did 1.6 million.
Okay. So not even 2 million.
Let's, hey, my really? Point,
yeah. Like, the average Premier League game probably does between 800,000 and like 1.1 million. So. That's like, I'm saying for the average, and that was a stadium series game that got 1.6. It was kind of a historic thing. Like, yeah, I mean, but it doesn't matter. Like, who cares? I don't care if soccer was getting 10 million viewers a game. This World Cup, by the way, is getting those numbers. For the average game in the World Cup, it's getting around 10 million. But that's once every 4 years. It's irrelevant to me, though. Because what I care about as a U.S. soccer fan, I don't care about ratings. I care about if this team can actually beat the good teams. Well, and another 4 years have gone by, and the answer is, oh, no, when they play the really good teams, nah, they're still ways behind on that.
Well, if we're going to compare numbers, then we need to compare it to, like, okay, like, the U.S. hockey team won it all this year.
Yes,
right. What was the numbers? Or to give me a Four Nations
I feel
game,
like
a Four Nations, like, rating. What was that?
Yeah.
Like,
let me look. I'll look up the USA-Canada number. For that game, I want to say, did somewhere
18.6.
I was going to say around 20 million.
Which so, like, one? US-Canada?
Yeah, and it peaked at 26 million.
That was the gold medal game, yes, to beat your arch rival. The U.S. soccer team playing Bosnia in a round of 32 game did 10 million more viewers than that. So I'm not trying to bag on hockey. I'm just saying, like, the people who act like this sport's not popular, that's fine. But, like, hockey, we would all say, is reasonably popular in the U.S. It's been popular for a long time. It doesn't do the numbers that soccer does, regardless of. But it doesn't matter. I don't care, because U.S. actually beat Canada in that game. See, that was good. U.S. didn't do jack squat in this tournament when they actually got to face the good teams. That would be like the U.S. beating I don't know, Bolivia in hockey, but then when it comes to actually playing Canada or Norway or Sweden or any of these clubs, then suddenly it's like, oh, we don't know how to play anymore. Like, that's what the U.S. soccer team has been, and that's disappointing.
You know what happened last night? The lights were brighter than expected.
Yes, 100%.
Josh says that he's glad people can stop pretending they care. These folks were getting on his nerves, acting like they were better than others for fake caring about soccer.
Yeah.
Hot take Tuesday, Joshua Perry.
Hey, JP, that's fine. I admire those of you who say, I don't care about soccer ever. I don't care. But I care about
the Columbus Crew.
Hey, there we go. Bang. That's right. Me too. By the way, I've always been a club over country guy personally, so I'm just glad Mark's. Thank you for wrapping Max Arfstead in bubble wrap and leaving him fully healthy as we can sell him to Middlesbrough and get some cash for him, because apparently that's the rumor now, is that he's going to be moving on.
Too?
Might be getting sold. That's the, go play. He'll join. If he goes to Middlesbrough, he'll be joining Aiden Morris, who used to play for the club.
What is this, slavery?
Selling the rights to a player is technically not slavery. I want to be clear on that. However, you have actually had a commentary on geopolitical soccer that is more insightful than you may have realized at the time, because that is actually a debate, but that's for another day. The Nissan Heisman House. Remember the commercials where, you know, all the Heisman guys would be hanging out at the Heisman House?
Correct.
Well, you've seen when they show that, they usually show like a big house wide view of like the actual house. Correct. And then they show interior stuff.
Yes.
Where whoever, you know, Baker Mayfield sitting around.
They got that little wraparound driveway.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Beautiful house, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you can buy it now.
Oh.
It's for sale. Oh, yeah.
Are they still shooting commercials then?
That would be annoying.
Because now I need royalties.
Well, I bet they pay you if they come and shoot there.
Oh, and it is worth it. How much is going for?
This house, by the way, is in Pasadena. It's 2 miles from the Rose Bowl.
Okay.
So you could theoretically, like, own the Heisman House and then walk down to the Rose Bowl to go watch a game and then walk back.
It's actually really nice.
That would be beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm
sure it's not cheap.
Let's put our dollars and cents together and try to figure out how to buy it. It's 18,000 square feet in Pasadena.
That's a lot of house.
That's a lot of house. Seven bedrooms.
In Pasadena?
Pasadena.
Oh, this is $100 million.
Well, good news, Tyvus. I'll give you that in a second. Seven bedrooms, 11 bathrooms. Not only was it the Heisman House, this house was also the exterior for the original Batman series, like that was on TV. The one from the 60s that now, if you've ever seen clips of it, people make fun of how low budget it was. Like, there's one of Batman like fighting a shark and it's just like a rubber shark hanging on his leg and he's just hitting it. He's like, Robin, help me, give me the shark annihilator bat from my bat belt, you know, whatever, like that stuff.
This
was the exterior. Whenever they would show Wayne Manor, where Bruce Wayne lived, this was the house they used. So it's been famous for a long time. It was built in the 1920s. It's almost 100 years old. You can buy it for the low bargain price of $32 million.
$32 million.
Golly. I mean, price per square footage, it's still not great. But it's better than I would have thought. Like you said, $100 million wouldn't be surprising.
$32 million.
Can you imagine?
No, I couldn't.
I can't either.
I don't think that big. I really don't. Like
let's say you had
why do I need seven bedrooms and all of that?
Tyvus, let's say you had,
this is low budget, by the way, too. I'm looking at a clip.
It's terrible. The Batman series from the 60s? Yeah. Caesar Romero. Was that the guy's name that was there? Or I forget who it was. It was, I don't know. Who's Caesar Romero? Is that an actor or is that the dog guy? Caesar Romero. That was the guy who played the Joker in that series.
Got ripped out of his costume.
It's terrible. It's stupid. You should see. see the one where he, like, Batman has one where he's like, the Joker uses a sneezing powder. And then he says, I took my anti-sneezing bat solution. It's just so dumb. Anyway, if you had, Tyvus, let's say you had $900 million, because if you had $1 billion, you'd be evil. Okay. And you're not evil, so you wouldn't have that.
Okay.
$900 million. Would you buy that mansion? $32 million would put a little dent in your net worth, but nothing crazy. You'd still be more than fine.
This would be solely an investment, because I need to know what is the highest Nissan paying me to use my house.
That's right.
That's what dictated, because they shoot a lot of commercials.
What if they said, hey, we just come and shoot the exterior. All the interior stuff's done in the studio. We don't even use the actual house for the inside shots.
I need $1 million.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You have $900 million in this scenario.
$1 million if you go come shoot my outside of my house.
You presumably would have more than one house in this scenario.
I need $1 million.
Okay. Okay. All
you
right.
Shoot 32 episodes. Right. I got my money back.
Well, then why wouldn't they just buy it? Why wouldn't they say, why are we paying this idiot? Why don't we just buy it? And then we have the Heisman House. We can use the whole thing.
They don't want to take care of it day to day. I got to do that. So I need $1 million.
The numbers you would do on Airbnb, if you had that and you said, come out for the Rose Bowl. And you said, you probably could charge $1 million if someone would rent it out for the week.
No.
Oh, someone would for $1 million? You could walk to the Rose Bowl?
That's crazy.
I don't even understand why this is necessary because I've seen a replica of the Heisman House. And it looks pretty good.
Oh,
like they just
can you buy
just,
that?
They just take it around everywhere, like big games and stuff. They just have a replica of the Heisman House.
Yeah, put that there. You go, get that in your driveway. Just a replica of the Heisman House. Morningwood coming up next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Starting to notice two trouble spots on our roads for this early Tuesday morning. It continues to be 161 in that eastbound direction, this time passing 62 over by Beach Road and New Albany. Just a lot more congestion out there. But as well in our southeast corner, we're talking 33 in that westbound direction over by Pickerington Road. So a heads up there. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
If only there was a radio show that constantly talked about Ohio State athletics. Well, good news. It's real, baby. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Ohio's sports destination.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. Home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Remember the time producer Dylan said that Alabama should be in the playoffs and that Tyvus started yelling at him? Those were good times. And remember later that day when Tyvus punched him in the face? Oh, classic stuff. Here's T-Bone and Tyvus.
Of course. I mean, yeah, we need to get over that next hurdle and trying to compete and beat the world's best. And that's our next step for us. It wasn't quite there today, but I think we showed a lot of good things that we have potential to do it, but there's still another step that we have to take.
That is loser Christian Pulisic.
Stop it.
That is him saying how they need to get over the hump and make it work, and great. Go back and be awesome for AC Milan. But you know, there's a little bit of residual bitterness from me towards him because, one, he was part of the group that missed the World Cup in 2018. That was bad.
How old was he, like 12?
No, he was like 18 and he was supposed to be a major contributor. And then I remember very distinctly, they went to Trinidad and Tobago. They had to play them in a game and they had to beat Trinidad to get to the World Cup. That was the thing. And then they got there and the practice field was flooded. And there's a photo of like him and other players getting carried over the water because they didn't want to get their feet wet. And I was like, no, this is bad. This is not a good look at all. And then Christian Pulisic last year in the Gold Cup pulled himself out of the Gold Cup and said, I don't want to play in that for the U.S. That's like another international tournament. He said, I don't want to play in that. I got to rest up for the World Cup. Oh, good. How'd that work out for you with your injuries and your sucking? Yeah, good. I'm glad the golden boy of our generation couldn't be there for him last year for the Gold Cup.
Just completely 180'd on this guy.
You asked me who he was, and I said he's one of the biggest names in U.S. soccer.
God's gift to earth.
I didn't say that. That's lies. This is lies.
Boom. He's on a McDonald's. You know what?
Yes, he's hyped.
I went to McDonald's yesterday, and my wife, like, on the app, you get like a coupon that if you pay over $7, you get the free cup. My wife was ready to turn the place upside down because they wouldn't give her cup.
Oh, dude.
Because she wanted Christian Pulisic.
By the way, I got it literally yesterday. I thought, oh, this might be a sign. Maybe he's about to have a monster game. Nope. We'll always have the cup. I'm still looking for a Ronaldinho, by the way.
It's all about how you look at the sign. They gave you the cup to tell you that he should be a water boy.
Bang. I like that. That's exactly it. I like that. That's good. No, I'll tell you this. If you have a Ronaldinho McDonald's cup, like, talk to me. I may find some cash for you because I think.
Wait a minute.
Helga Bonito is that. That was my guy back in the day. I love Ronaldinho. Look him up in the break, Tyvus.
I'm trying to just see what the cup looked like.
No, but Ronaldinho was the truth, as people say. He was absolutely that deal. So you can find out more about him in a second. We've got business to do.
It's good to know where you stand on the important issues.
Oh, my.
This is Morning Wood.
All right, Dylan, Morning Wood, question number one.
All right, it's what everyone's talking about this morning. It's what we've been talking about. How would you fix U.S. soccer?
I'll tell you right now, first thing I would do, if I were the grand poobah of fixing things, and that's my job title, and I'm given all resources, I'm doing one thing, the very first thing I'm doing. I am issuing a decree, executive order from the president's desk, whatever you have to do.
Soccer is free.
We're banning, not only is soccer free, I'm making soccer free to play. I'm making youth sports free to play, and I am banning any for-profit, pay-to-play schemes that come from youth sports. I am putting all those losers out of jobs.
Wait, that's a thing?
There's people who make all kinds of money off of youth sports. I'm getting all that out, and I'm saying, now, I'm going to hire some of them, and I'm going to pay for it from, like, the government, because we're going to actually take that seriously, but I'm not going to, like, let some rando guy out in who knows where just form a team and charge everybody $8,000 to play for his team, which may or may not be any good. I'm going to subsidize that. I'm going to get the best coaches, and then I'm going to say that we'll let anybody play. We don't care how much money's in your bank account. We don't care if mom and dad have, like, able to drive you all over 18 states to play soccer. We're going to fund all that. That's how you fix U.S. soccer. Get rid of the pay for play.
I agree with that statement. I also think that right now is actually a pretty good time to try to make the sport of soccer more popular. You got the NBA that's on the decline a little bit with fans. You got college sports that's a lot of fans is growing sour because of NIL. So it right now, you can take advantage of this while things is down. Find a way to make soccer more popular.
The other thing I would do to fix it if I were Fox is on every broadcast, I would put the salaries of all these, like the backup who, like, Jordan Henderson was this guy who fell over. He was for England. He didn't even play in the game. He got a yellow card on the bench. And then after their game against Mexico, he tried to hop over a signboard, fell, and broke his wrist out for the tournament. Just like an awful day for him. But I would like put up. Yes.
He didn't play?
And he didn't play and he broke his wrist and he's out of the tournament. But like, that's like a bench guy who didn't even play for them. And he's a veteran. But I would just put up like career earnings for that guy. I would put all their, like anytime a guy gets the ball, I'd be like, oh, here's Erling Haaland. Here's how much he makes. If you want to fix soccer in this country, let people see how much these guys actually make when they go play overseas. Because they make a ton of money. And there you'd have a lot more kids going, well, damn, I'm not going to football practice. Give me that soccer ball. Ole, ole, ole. Like, that's what would be happening.
This is like one of them random things I saw. Trinity Rodman.
Yeah.
Did she just sign?
Dennis Rodman's daughter who plays for the U.S. Women's National Team.
Did she just sign like this big time soccer deal? Like,
she may have.
Make her, like, one of the highest paid.
I'll have to look that up. I don't know for sure. I know her name was in the news recently, but I didn't see what it was. But yeah. I mean, even in women's soccer, you go overseas, like Chelsea or Manchester United or those teams, they have women's teams. And they also pay, like, pretty good money. Not the same as the men, clearly, because, you know, misogynism. But anyway, the point is, that does happen. Like, that, they do get paid pretty well over there. But, yeah. Sorry, Dylan.
I got to go back to some of your guys' original points. One, with the make soccer free, as soon as that issue comes up on my ballot, me as a selfish parent of one, their kid that doesn't give a damn about sports.
You are too.
I am not giving up tax dollars. Blank everybody else's kids.
No. Here's how I fix that. I'm not going to raise your taxes at all. What I am going to do is, and it's not just soccer, it's youth sports, lacrosse, all of it. Like, we're getting rid of pay for play and we're going to subsidize it. And how we're going to do it? We're going to add a surcharge to every NFL ticket. We're going to add a surcharge. Every time you want to build a stadium, $100 million has to go into this fund. That's because we will pay for that.
Yeah.
I will tax when the TV companies. I will say, hey, you want to do this NFL deal? You got to throw in 10% that goes into our Make Sports Free Fund. And that could go for basketball and football and baseball, too. But we're subsidizing all the sports. We're not making parents pay for that.
When was the last time the U.S. won the World Cup?
That rhymes with never.
Okay.
It's never happened that they've won the World Cup. Highest they finished was third, I believe, in like the first World Cup. I think they finished third.
What is a bigger deal?
Okay.
If the U.S., let's say the U.S. won the World Cup and LeBron signed with a team on the same day. Which one was?
Oh my God.
Which one is a,
that would be.
Which one do you think? Is, I mean, Leeds Sports Center.
what should lead SportsCenter, because LeBron has signed with a new team like six different times in his career. That's versus the U.S. inaccurate. Never having done it, I would say the thing that's never happened should lead. If it was me, it's U.S. soccer first.
You don't think it would lead over LeBron's decision?
When it comes to men's soccer, I keep saying U.S. soccer's never won. The men's team has never won. The women's team has won four or five World Cups. So, like, yeah, they're Dillo, awesome.
Which one would lead SportsCenter?
I would think that the World Cup would lead SportsCenter.
I would think that, too.
It hasn't been six times, but LeBron has done this before.
Well, okay.
Like, if we're comparing the 09 decision or whatever he left Cleveland to this, that would be more of a debate.
If it were, I'll give you this, though. Like, if it was LeBron James wins another title, and in game seven, he goes for 85 points.
That's has leading
like,
sports.
Right. Center. Like I'm saying, yeah. I'm not saying nothing would top that. I'm saying a LeBron storyline that involves him doing something on the basketball court might top that. But if he retired, that might also be up there with like if the U.S. like it's a big enough sports story that would also be significant. But it's not like it's a shocking story. If LeBron announced he was retiring, I don't think anybody's really going to be shocked that he retires sometime in the next couple of years, right?
But this the U.S. winning the World Cup for the first time.
Yeah, I think the U.S. winning the World Cup would be bigger than most any other story out there that you can think of.
Brady returns.
Yeah, it's bigger than that, I would say. Although I don't know. The NFL is...
O.J. did it.
Let me tell you, that's not breaking news, Tyvis. I think to a lot of people, that's not breaking news at all. No one's surprised by that. All right, there's a new college sports scandal involving fraud and someone getting sued for millions of dollars. We'll tell you about it next. T-Bone and Tyvis on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. Still not seeing any crashes whatsoever around the city this morning. Roads are actually pretty open and pretty easy going for the most part. And for our friends in Delaware County, just in case you are stepping out the door, that's also looking good when it comes to your drive times. 71 southbound, only a 9-minute commute between 36 to 270. If you're taking 23 south, a little bit slower, so just a heads up there, 18 minutes out there, once again, between 36 to 270. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your family.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The United States men's national team's World Cup run has officially come to an end after Team USA lost to Belgium 4-1 in the round of 16 last night. Here's Christian Pulisic on what the nation's support meant to him and the team this summer.
I mean, I'll reflect on it more, but it's been such an incredible journey. Like, this summer, I never wanted it to end, so I'm just so thankful to all the American people that supported us and gave us that boost. It was awesome. Something, you know, definitely a summer I'll never forget.
Both the Guardians and the Reds were off yesterday, but we'll be back in action tonight. Cincinnati will host the Philadelphia Phillies at 7:10, while Cleveland will visit the Minnesota Twins with first pitch at 7:40. This update is sponsored by TurboTrack Realty. Done with that property? Call John Kozik at TurboTrack Realty and get a cash offer today. 614-470-2000.
Every time Tyvis laughs, take a drink. Just kidding. You'd be dead in 30 seconds. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvis.
Bone, you ever seen Buck with his pants down?
No.
No, did you see that they passed the OHSAA passed the rule that they're going to now allow flag football for women in high school?
I feel like I don't know why. I don't know if that's recent. I feel like there was a proposal I saw recently about that. Maybe it just got passed recently.
I thought we did a story about it being in college.
Oh, that's probably what it was. Okay, yep. Yeah. So they're doing it. I mean, well, that makes sense if they're going to have it in colleges. Right. If that's going to be a like varsity sport, then you're going to need a pipeline for that.
I need to get my speed ladder out, and I need to get Lay and Joe some cleats.
Hey, there you go. I think because I remember when we talked about this, and I don't remember what the answers were. So if you answered and I'm glossing over it, I'm sorry. I'll ask it again. I don't know why the push was for women to not play tackles, like tackle football.
Because
I don't know the answer on that.
Well, you
T-Bone, we know the answer.
T-Bone. I mean, as a society.
What is
all three of us are about equal rights, but we know the answer.
No, I don't actually legitimately know, Dylan. Go ahead, explain it to me.
I was gonna say that not even, just as a society, we've gotten soft.
In what way?
basketball. Like, we just don't. I mean, football is getting soft. Like, the game itself is getting soft.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I understand there's a lot of, I'm not trying to get into this whole can of worms. Like, I understand there's a lot of misogyny around, obviously,
make
women.
Football violent again.
I know women deal with a lot of, like, you know, oh, you can't do that, little lady. You sit over here. That's literally been, like, all their lives. I get that. But I thought we were making some progress in that. Like, when MMA started. Well, UFC, they used to not sanction women's fights initially, or when they were trying to get sanctioned, they would let men's fights, like certain states would sanction a men's fight, but they'd say, we're not letting women fight. That's barbaric. And it's like, well, I think women and men fighting would be a bad thing, but women fighting women, men fighting men, like having those divisions is fine.
Yeah, this ain't the WWE.
Well, but my point is, like, I don't know why. I don't know the answer. Maybe it has something. And same thing with softball. I've never understood that. Why did we get a different version of the sport for women versus men? I don't know either. So, yeah. Smarter than me probably does. There's probably some reason that's more complicated than what I'm making it out to be. But that's something I wondered about when I first saw this story.
You talk about both genders fighting. Were you a fan of Bubba Ray Dudley throwing Mae Young through the table?
That was an all-time moment in WWE.
And
obviously, it's a little problematic, but it's also the fact that she's probably as tough as him or tougher. So,
I was a kid, China was the scariest girl I've ever seen in my life.
China was, I mean, she did. May she rest in peace.
Yep, R.I.P.
She's passed away. She's since left this mortal plane. But yeah, that... You're right. Like, I'm just saying, if you know why, if you're a softball person and you can tell me why, that's great. Please let us know. At Bone and Tyvus 971 on Twitter. I'm not asking to be a jerk. I generally don't know the answer.
Clarissa Shields say she'll put paws on any boxer, she thinks.
Who's that?
Clarissa Shields is a female boxer.
Okay.
She's like really good. And she thinks she could fight some of the men and win.
Let me ask you, would she fight Albert Bell? Not the Albert Bell who played for the Guardians / Indians back in the day, but the Albert Bell who you watched do a boxing match yesterday in Cleveland over the weekend, and it's somehow not the same person.
I know, right?
That's bizarre. That is bizarre.
I know. Well, he's from Toledo, so, you know. Anyways.
Is his nickname Joey?
No.
That's Albert Bell. That's the Albert Bell. It sounds like just Albert Bell. It's just like, oh, yeah, I came up with a new backstory. It's still me.
That Jake Paul would probably be the fight.
Oh. He can't fight anymore.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because he got his jaw broken.
He's trying to do football.
Oh, yeah. Now. That's right. We did that story. He was trying to walk on at Stanford. Yeah. He was like, well, I was going to try for an NFL team, but maybe I'll just come to Stanford. Okay. Good luck. I hope he does. I hope they let him. I really want to see it. I think that'd be great.
I have a hot take based off of something Tyvus said.
Oh, man.
Good. Let's do it.
Because he said soccer has an avenue to take over because NBA they're on a downswing.
Mm.
Based off of what, Tyvus? Like, people are still watching the NBA. Here's my hot take.
They don't watch it till the playoffs.
They had, like, a boost in viewership this season in the regular season. And then the finals was one of the most watched finals. It was the most watched finals this millennium.
Yeah, because the Knicks was in it.
I just think my hot take is if you have that take about the NBA, you're getting old.
I'm getting old?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
I think a lot of the younger...
It's crazy you say that because I actually, like, watched the NBA this season.
I think people that say that the NBA is on a downswing, it's like, you know, you're in your 30s now.
But
because
to be fair,
kids and people in their 20s love watching the NBA. The ratings are there. I admit I don't enjoy watching the NBA as much as I did 10 years ago, and I just refuse to say it's because it sucks. It's just not for me anymore.
Ah, no, that is a sign of getting old, though, is when you start saying, like, these sports nowadays, they're nothing like when I was a kid. Like, that, I'm telling you, that is like, both hit in your 30s. That is the thing you do have to fight. Because as someone who's 40, going on 44, like, I have fought that, passed through it, and been like, oh, yeah, I just have to make peace with that. Like, it's okay. Like, yes, the game is different than when I watched it as a kid. Also, it's still got its very good parts of it that I enjoy. No, I agree with you, Dylan, that, like, basketball, the NBA, and I love basketball, so maybe I'm biased, but the NBA, I don't think, is the one that's, like, on the downswing. I do, though, genuinely question, as far as, not because of this World Cup, like, before this World Cup happened, the average Premier League game, Champions League game that you would find was doing better numbers than most of your average baseball and hockey games. I'm not talking playoffs. I'm just saying the regular season stuff was doing about the same or better from the international leagues, not even MLS. So, Like, that's where the sport for sure is at least in the ballpark of competing on TV with baseball and hockey. Is it competing for the hearts and minds of fans? I don't know about that, but I know that people watch that sport probably as much or more than they watch baseball and hockey.
How often does, like, U.S., like, people that was born in the U.S. and play soccer in the U.S. go overseas and hit, like, these big-time contracts?
The guy that you were saying that I was saying was the greatest gift to soccer when I wasn't, he went over and got a $60 million. He got bought for $60 million by Chelsea when that was like, he went over there. That was a big signing for him to get to play. He played for a German club called Borussia Dortmund and he was good there. Then they paid $60 million. Chelsea did, big club in England, to get him. Now he plays for AC Milan, a huge, they finished first in Italy, and he was like their second leading scorer. Like,
so
he's played really well for his club teams.
How often does this happen?
Didn't come together for the national
team. That a U.S. homegrown person plays overseas and just gets these big-time contracts. Because I'm trying to see.
When you define big-time, because there's plenty of guys who've gone over and played in Europe, and they play, like, half the guys on this roster, 90% of the guys on this roster play overseas.
Well, the reason I bring this up is because we talk about how to make it more popular. Well, to me, I think the reason a lot of people play football is because it's the easiest sport to make it professionally in. Why? Because there's 32 teams, there's 53 spots plus 10 to 15 practice squad spots. So, like, you got a way better chance to where you look at these other rosters, it's like 12 to 15 spots on a roster, right? So I'm asking, how often does a kid from the States go and get a contract? Let's set the bar at $25 million.
That's probably going to be like, I would say that's rare. I would say that's probably like maybe a dozen guys have done that are getting that level of money. $25 million a year you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's probably not as many as you have in the NFL or NBA. For sure, it's not that. Like, I would think that number's probably under 20 that have had that happen. So there's a problem right there, right?
Like, yeah.
I feel getting like getting the best... That goes to this discussion about the best players playing the sport, if that were to happen. But
something else that other people bring up all the time when they try to compare like U.S. soccer to other nations, quote, soccer nations like Belgium. They're like, oh, the United States is way behind when it comes to like interest, hundreds of years behind when it comes to interest in soccer. And they'll always be that far behind. Like,
well, that's fair.
There's no way to close the gap. I hate when people bring up that point. It's like, oh, they're 100 years behind France when it comes to development. Well, they'll always be 100 years behind France.
To your point, I hate that when it's an excuse.
Yes.
That's what it is. When you're making it an excuse and saying, well, that's why. No. Okay, but now since then, there's been at least probably a solid 30 years of significant investment in U.S. soccer. They just done it wrong, in my opinion.
I want to know, people that say that, what's the expiration date for you to stop saying that?
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think that's totally fair. By the way, I didn't get to this story, so we'll do it next. The scandal in college sports where someone's getting paid, and more of this U.S. soccer discussion when we come back. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and welcome to your Tuesday. We are still seeing some traffic trouble spots, so let's go ahead and take a look once again in our southeast corner. 33 in that westbound direction at Gender Road. You're already down to 22 miles per hour for your speeds as you're heading closer towards that 270 and 33 split. We also have some traffic really building over towards the southwest side, heading up downtown. Of course, we are talking 71 in that northbound direction over by Greenlawn Avenue. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
Rockman and Ice.
If you hit a fadeaway on Tree Rollins, you'd remember his name.
But I think in time, Tree Hollins, that name would fade a little bit.
Tree Rollins?
Faded in 2 seconds.
Rockman and Ice. Weekdays at noon.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We have some areas of fog once again for the morning hours. Otherwise, skies turn partly cloudy, and they'll stay that way for the afternoon. Just like yesterday, too, we're in the mid-80s for a high with a slight chance of a stray shower or storm later on today. For tomorrow, partly cloudy skies, a little warmer, upper 80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
No hot takes, no dancing, plenty of stupid. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. If your kid is complaining about not wanting to go to school, blast the volume on this show. You won't have any more problems. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
All right, question for you, Tyvus.
Answer.
Someone comes up to you and says, my mom has cancer. She's in dire need of treatments. She actually doesn't even live in this country. She lives in another country. We're very poor. If you could help me out with anything, just even a few hundred bucks, my mom really needs this treatment. I'm trying to get a thing together. Maybe even if you had $1,000, like that would be, as much as I don't know that I'd have $1,000 to part with, that would be a very tough story to ignore. Right.
I would be like, you know what I'm going to do? I had $1,000 in my pocket.
I'm going to pray for you.
No, I'm just playing. I would definitely help for money.
Lots of prayers, buddy. That's too bad. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. I'm just saying that is a compelling way to get someone to give you some sympathy. And maybe they'll give you the thousands of dollars, but they're going to listen. And then they might tell someone and say, hey, I know a friend who needs some help. His mom, you know, dying of cancer, whatever, and trying to get her some treatments. That's a story that obviously is pretty rough.
Yeah.
If you're lying about that story to get money, though, like, shot into the deepest pits of hell, right? I hope so, right?
Probably.
Okay. Well, here's the scandal from Kentucky, former Kentucky basketball player, and apparently not just Kentucky, a bunch of other places too, because it's college sports in 2026. Former Kentucky basketball player Kerr Creasa has been arrested and indicted on a $2.2 million fraud scheme, according to the Department of Justice. 6'3" guard from Estonia played at Kentucky, Arizona, West Virginia, and Cincinnati over 6 seasons. Just everything about that sentence, Tyvus, how does that make you feel?
Not really good. It's a shame. This is the transfer portal at its finest.
But, like, the names on these schools, Kentucky and Arizona are blue bloods.
Yeah.
West Virginia and Cincinnati are no slouches in college basketball. So, like, I mean, this dude is getting, he was playing, or at least on, teams that were pretty good over his 6-year career. Allegedly, he carried out a scheme to obtain nearly $2.2 million from multiple victims using false representations. Last year for Cincinnati, he averaged 5.8 points per game, 3 assists a game, had a separated shoulder in February, missed the rest of the season. But one victim, according to the Department of Justice, says that this 4-year scheme that he was running on them involved saying his mother had cancer and needed treatment. Another one told a victim that he needed money to save the family's farm. He also acted allegedly as a woman named Irene to sign a fraudulent promise to repay one of the victims $100,000 that he got from them by a February deadline. So that's just, I mean, the NIL wasn't enough for you, buddy.
That's what I was about to say. He's going to these ain't programs that ain't paying basketball players. Like, it's not like he's going to Akron or something like that. Like, he's going to places that I'm sure he's getting some NIL money. So, like, it would have been eyebrow raising a little bit. Like, wait a minute. Yeah. You need this much money, but I'm sure your NIL deal is paying you X amount of dollars. And it's a little bit Googleable a little bit. So you can actually kind of look up what did he sign for to see the money. So yeah, he's crazy. I don't know why you would even, first of all, you ain't supposed to play like that. You can't even wish that on nobody in your family. Anyways.
No.
So yeah,
that's, wow. I mean, all this,
said
I should
he
be
can
clear.
Face the 50 to 60 years in prison.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, I want to be clear. This is all alleged. We don't know if he did this. This is the allegation, but it is being brought not just by your local sheriff's department. This is being brought by the feds.
He's going to have to tell on some people in D.C. that's doing their thing.
Well, that's what if there's no one to roll on, though, is the thing.
That's like, what I'm saying. He's going to have to tell on something. He's going to have to tell on somebody. 50 to 60 years.
Wow.
He's singing the blues.
What's the rhyme for that one? I know the rhyme. Why do 10 when you can tell on a friend?
I ain't 50 to 60.
I don't know the rhyme for that one. That's no good.
You got to tell.
Yeah, exactly right. By the way, it's Hot Take Tuesday.
It's Hot Take Tuesday!
This one comes from Hadley Ray on YouTube. Says, the physical sizing of teams last night. Belgium, 6'1", 170, 176 pounds. Average, like, height and weight for some of their best players. USA, 6'1", 165 pounds. It ain't best athletes preventing USA from winning, in my opinion. I agree with him. This is the discussion that happens every single time
that
the U.S.
best
soccer team loses.
In the U.S. doesn't play soccer.
Let me ask you a question. I know all of you haven't watched a ton of this
Miles
World
Garrett.
Cup. Okay, how many guys that look like Miles Garrett are playing soccer in this World Cup?
Zero.
The answer is zero. How many guys that look like LeBron are playing, like, name your guy,
Erling,
right?
Erling Haaland.
No, he's six. Erling Haaland, 6'5", 205, and that's his listed weight. I bet it's less than that. And I bet he's not 6'5". He's probably like 6'4". He's tall. He's big.
What's Miles Garrett?
Miles Garrett is like 6'3", but he's like 280 pounds or 270 pounds of like pure muscle. Like that's that there's, I'm just saying,
6'4", 272.
Go look up, because he's been one of the best players for years. I want to say Cristiano Ronaldo in his prime was like 6'1" and maybe a buck 85, like maybe a buck 75. I don't think he was pushing more than 180 pounds. And this is my argument on how you fix soccer, or this whole discussion of you got to get the best athletes. I think you have pathways for football and basketball and baseball that are very clear, well-trodden. Everyone knows, like you said, Tyvus, you grew up, you're an elite athlete. Mm. You played at Ohio State and you played in the NFL. Your pathway to play football was pretty clear, right?
Yeah.
You had options. You knew how to get on a football field.
Technically, I could have played baseball too.
That's my point. Like, oh, you're saying you could have done that professionally?
I could do whatever. Whatever one I locked in on, I was going professional.
Okay. I like it, though. I like the confidence. It's good. But my point is, like, there are baseball fields, there are football fields. And when you went to school, like, there were people who said, hey, you should come play this sport. I'm thinking about the places, like, if you were into basketball, if you want to play in a gym, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can play at your school. Most schools in America have gyms.
Yes.
Right? Many churches have gymnasiums.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I used to go there every Tuesday.
Okay. Lots of churches have big spaces that are usually multi-use, but many of them have basketball hoops. You can usually find that. And then the third place a lot of people have experienced, like basketball, is in a field house or like a rec center, which is how I started playing basketball when I was a kid, was the Far East Rec Center over by, like, not far from Walnut Ridge. That was like my first time playing basketball for the first couple of years. I'm saying, like, we have a lot of places to go do that, and it was cheap or free in a lot of cases.
That's
right?
My favorite word, right?
Right, there. Cheap and free. And I'm saying, like, that's what in soccer, we have a lot of places for you to play soccer, but like there's a field by my house. If the league that rents it out isn't playing, like on Saturdays, other days of the week, it's gated and locked up. Can't get in. And there's your issue right there, because kids from our neighborhood would absolutely go over to that field and probably play some sport, whether it's football or baseball or soccer, whatever. But like a lot of our
update grass.
No, that's it. This is my point. This is what I'm talking about. If you want to be like the sports where it's free and easy to go play these sports, where there's free open space to go play them, that is usually the sports that do pretty well. Mm. And now we're getting into travel baseball and travel lacrosse. All these things cost money, but like
it's cash grab.
Yeah. Do you think let me ask you this. Why do you think the U.S. is pretty good at hockey? They've obviously were really good this year in the Olympics. But, like, why do you think they're good at hockey? They have infrastructure for it.
Yeah.
It's not easy, but there are places to go where you can go get on an ice rink. Why do you think Colombia is not good at hockey? The answer is because it's hard to find ice in Colombia. That may not be as big of a focus for them. Why do you think the countries that are good at it have parts of their country that are routinely, at least part of the year, freezing or below?
Well, why aren't
USA, Canada, Norway, Russia.
They should be better at football. Americano.
Yeah, right.
Football.
Who should be?
The other countries.
They don't care.
But they've got their sport, though. That's
exactly
my point.
How we
that's
feel
my point.
About soccer.
That's exactly. And that's fair, too. That's I get that.
That's cool, though.
My point is, if you want to get better at soccer, the number one thing you have to do is you have to make the sport more accessible. And then you have to make it so that you have.
I feel like it is, though. I feel like there is.
Not to get elite coaching, it's not.
No, that's
not to get elite coaching. If you want elite coaching, you're going to pay through the nose for it.
Yes, and that's true.
That's baseball, by the way.
That is true.
That's lacrosse now, by the way. Hockey obviously is not cheap, but I'm saying those sports, the other countries that play them, there's a handful of countries that are good at it. Soccer is the one where literally almost every country in the world has pretty good programs for soccer, and we're just kind of one of those programs. We're not elite at that.
The older I get, and now that I'm a parent of a 7-year-old who has played soccer, the more I realize that the people that coach our kids, for the most part, it's just because they're around.
Yeah.
Not because they know anything.
They're dads and moms that are just like, I got the time and I want to make sure these kids have a good experience, and that's great. We need that. But to get elite coaching,
like even at the varsity level at a lot of places, like it's just he was buddies with the athletic director in high school, and sure. Now he's got a job.
Sure. There's
not
a lot of that
merit.
Not every school, to your point. But yeah, this is not trying to disparage any of that. But it's just the point is when you go to like throw a rock at a field in Argentina and the coach who's standing there has probably played the game at some level, at a pretty high level, right? Like played it his whole life. Learned all the ins and outs of it. The average soccer field in America that's not like a club team or a select team, it's probably a dad who's just who may have played a little bit in high school or something, but doesn't have maybe the same level of knowledge that you have in other places. So yeah, if we're going to have that big discussion every 4 years, why are they not better at soccer? That's why I think, in my opinion, is it's not that you don't get the best athletes.
I'm
it's
not that really hearing that.
The casual kids who want to play just don't have the same level of coaching that you get in other countries.
I'm not hearing that because the women's team, they won it four times. So
I can, you know what? We can talk about that in 2 minutes. I'll explain the difference, why that is. 2 minutes away. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Noticing some foggy patches out on the roads, especially over by Marysville. Thankfully, when it comes to drivers' commute times, you're still looking okay. 33 in both directions, no issues to report out there. And for our friends on that western side, only a 6-minute commute on 270 between 33 and Roberts Road. We are flying this morning. And even some better news as you're heading towards 70 out there. That will only take you 1 minute. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. One of these men is bald and fat. The other is T-Bone. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
We do have hot takes, by the way, that involve food and not soccer, so we'll get to those in a minute. And I'm sorry, this is just the every annual four-year show that I feel like I've done multiple times on this station now, which is why isn't the U.S. better at soccer? U.S. gets annihilated by Belgium 4-1, undid, in my opinion, a lot of the goodwill from this World Cup run. But you asked a great question, Tyvus. Why is the women's team so good and the men's team not? And I have a theory on that.
Let's hear it.
Okay. There's once, and I'm not blaming this sport. I'm not like demonizing or anything. I'm just pointing this out. There's one sport that men, the boys growing up can play that girls, women have largely been discouraged from playing. And that is the sport we look forward to every fall in the state of Ohio. That is football. Like, how many great athletes have played football who never picked up a soccer ball? For girls, that's not an option.
I know one, me.
That bang, Tyvus, exactly right. This is what I want to ask you about because, like, you fit the profile of someone. What was your playing weight when you were at your peak? What was your playing weight
in the NFL?
Yeah, back that up. What was it when you got to Ohio State when you were a teenager coming into Ohio State?
Probably like 180.
Okay, and how tall?
About 6'2".
Okay.
6'1", 6'2"?
6'2", 6'3", 180 pounds. That is a perfect soccer player profile. They would never have made you touch a weight. I mean, they would have had you like tone. Like from the upper half would not have had any weights. You're not sitting there benching 300 pounds or anything like that. They wouldn't make you do any of that. Body by Marotti would not be a thing for you.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is like, and you had a great career. You went and played at a high level at Ohio State. You went and played the NFL.
I got to 205.
Okay.
I would have been, I left Ohio State. I was 6'3", 205.
I'm saying that is the size of player that could absolutely play soccer. But was soccer ever, was anybody in your life saying, hey man, you got to go play soccer. You would be awesome at that.
The only person that would have convinced, that would have wanted me to play soccer would have been my biological father, who openly admits that if he was in my life, he would have made me play soccer.
Okay. Your father's from Jamaica.
Correct.
And he apparently loves soccer.
Correct.
And this is kind of where I'm going with that, is that like there are a lot of players and a lot of people and a lot of talented athletes whose family just don't have a soccer background in this country. In other countries, that's not necessarily the case. Mm-hmm. Like Erling Haaland, that guy, his dad played for Manchester City. Like he was an elite athlete who played soccer, not some other sport.
You know, closest,
so what do you think his kid's going to play when he's growing up? He wants to be a soccer player.
The closest I got to playing soccer in my life was kickball.
Oh, That's not the same sport at all.
But no,
yes.
But that's the only sport that I actually kicked a ball willingly.
This has been my theory, and I'm not saying this applies to you, Tyvus, but I am saying, like, there are a lot of guys who see their pathway to go play professional sports. Football is one, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the women's side, that's not a thing. I mean, now we're starting with flag football. We just talked about earlier in the show that they're going to do that with high school sports and collegiate sports. They're going to have women's or girls, you know, flag football programs. That's great.
Yeah.
But by and large, if you want to become a professional athlete, for a girl growing up, the pathway has been largely basketball or soccer.
Yeah.
Volleyball, I guess they're starting volleyball, to get some pro. Yeah. You have the women's pro hockey league now. That's starting, like, 20 more years from now, those will also be very big pro sports,
Venus,
right?
Venus and Serena made tennis popular.
Tennis, right? Okay. But I'm saying, like, how many people make it? Again, tennis, very high budget to get into that, right? You have to have a lot of time and money to be good at tennis.
Yeah.
Soccer is one of those sports where it's accessible, and there were a lot of the best women athletes were looking to play a sport. They probably looked at either that or basketball. When you come to, and softball, I guess, is there too in the mix. I shouldn't neglect that. When it comes to the men's side of things, football is one that probably gets a lot of guys who were not as good as you, who were less talented than you, or like size-wise, they didn't football, fit to play a certain profile. But maybe they're like third string on Pitt's defense, but they would be an T-ball, awesome soccer player.
The thing about,
we'll never know.
The thing about football, though, is you will know the first day of pads in Muni League if football is for you. Because they're going to line up their Oklahoma drill or nutcracking drill, whatever they call it.
Sure. They don't do that anymore.
But I'm telling you, back in my day, you know, you will know if your mother is making you do this or if you really want to do this. They put you on that ground and blow that whistle. You got to get up and run through somebody. Mm. You're going to be like, yeah, nah, this ain't for me. Or you're going to be like, I like this. It's only two reactions you're going to get. So
sure.
Once that happens, then you see people go, all right, this ain't for me. Now you see basketball, soccer, and all of those.
I bet lots of people have some example of this. If you've ever experienced like someone coming to your high school from another country. We had a kid when I was growing up, international, like a student, what do they call that? Like a foreign exchange student,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Where like this kid came to our school. He was from Brazil. And he was just like, when you saw him, he was not an impressive athlete in any way, shape, or form. He was tall, but he wasn't like built or ripped. Like you wouldn't look at him and be like, oh my gosh, that kid's a great basketball player, a great football player. He's just kind of an average build kid.
Mm-hmm.
Got on the soccer field, dominated everyone we play. Like, but I don't know that he was ever a great soccer player in his home country, but the baseline that he grew up with is better than probably most of the kids in America at that time. He had more experience with the game. Mm-hmm. Same as if you took a kid from America and put him in, like, I don't know, the Netherlands and said, all right, now let's play baseball. They like baseball over there.
Yeah,
but I bet the average kid who plays sports in America is probably a little better at baseball because he's more familiar with it. Or basketball, or name your sport, right? Like that we play over here.
Tell them put the pads on. I look like Jim Brown.
You look like Tyvus Powell. You play. You shouldn't diminish your own career.
I'll put me at running back, and I'm going to rush for 1,000 yards a game.
Anyway, yeah, my theory on how to fix U.S. men's soccer team is not, you know, it's not that you need to convince LeBron James to play soccer. It's that you need to convince the kid who's third string, who's never going to go anywhere beyond college, not going to play in the league. Convince that kid that he could go play international soccer and make millions of dollars. That's probably where the next stage is. And I don't know how soon that happens. I'm just telling you, that's probably what has to happen. It is a hot take Tuesday, so let's get those in. This one, let's see, where's the food one? From Alex, who said hot take Tuesday. He's got two food takes. You ready for this?
Yes.
The quality of fast food restaurants should be judged by its fries, not its burgers. A great burger can't save bad fries, but great fries can save an average burger. Do we agree with that? Because I'm trying.
That might be true, actually. I'm not going to lie to you. That might possibly be true.
No, I'm judging each of those items separately.
I'm going to tell you like this. The reason that I don't go to Burger King a lot is because I don't agree with their fries.
Me neither.
Really?
But
I like Burger King fries.
But I will put up with McDonald's. Because they fries is that elite.
That's true. That's a good
point. I think I'm coming around on Alex. Because I'll tell you what. I had a McDonald's. I had a double cheeseburger yesterday because I got the meal to get the cup. Because I got my Christian Ballistic cup. And I got the double cheeseburger with fries. And I ate that double cheeseburger. It was dry. It was thin. The cheese was like barely even melted on it. And I'm like, fries were banging. Fries were great. And I kind of came away going like, why do I eat at McDonald's? And the answer was probably it's more for the fries than for the burger. So you know what? He's right.
Alex Meanwhile, got a point.
Yeah, it's not bad. That's a really good point. Also, Alex's other hot take for food was chicken sandwiches have officially surpassed burgers as the king of fast food.
Well, that's been for me since like 2003. So
2020 for me during the chicken sandwich wars.
They upped their game. Yeah. I agree with that.
COVID
hit and everybody was like, we got to fry these chickens and put them on sandwich buns immediately.
Everybody back in the day was ranting and raving about Big Macs and quarter pounders. And all I cared about was McChicken sandwiches. To this day, all I want from McDonald's is a McChicken sandwich.
That is so
the hot and spicy if they got you know.
I do wonder if Alex just doesn't like burgers. That might also be a thing. Like where he's saying like.
Because if you go to like Five Guys or Culver's or something like that, I take their burger all day long.
By the way, I forgot to tell you guys this. Last week I went to Five Guys. Okay.
Who'd you go with?
Do the Five Guys need to put ski masks on? Is this going to be your point?
Did you go alone? Or was this a family?
Here's what happened. My wife and I went. My wife said
$60.
My wife said, I don't want a meal. I'll just eat the fries with you. I will get a burger, and then she got a drink.
$55.
No. It's not even about the total price. Here's what I saw on the receipt for my meal, which was their like double cheeseburger that they do.
Which is a regular burger.
Regular burger. $30. Their fries and their drink. It was legitimately
$30.
No, it was $22.50. And I'm like, $22 for this burger? We rarely go, and this is why. Because I can't justify that.
Let me ask you this.
That is unsustainable, Five Guys. What is wrong with you?
That burger was good.
It was delicious. It was great.
Yeah, but you're right. Walk in there, it costs you $20 to just walk in the door.
That's a fact.
My stomach hurt when I left, not because of the burger, because I knew I paid $25 for it. Well, then, of course, you got a tip. Because it's like, we got a tip for, like, nothing. I stood there. I ordered it. You guys made the food, which, by the way, is the job.
Why do you have to? Miss me with that.
Because I feel guilty.
I'm tipping him.
Miss me with that.
Dylan, as you get more recognized from doing this job, you're going to feel more guilty about not tipping. Because someday it's going to be like, Dylan from 971 The Fan came in here. T-Bone and Divers, you didn't even. Man, that guy doesn't tip at all. You're going to want to tip.
I'll tip at a sit-down restaurant. You're not going to guilt me anywhere else.
By the way, also at Five Guys, I noticed like they on the cup, I took a picture of it. I don't know if I deleted it or not, but I took a picture of it because it was like best burger in town. And it was like from the Charlotte Observer 2007. And it was like best fries in town. And it was all these newspaper articles from like 20 years ago. And I was like, you better update your thing because I don't know if people are saying that anymore about you. Kind of rested on your laurels, Five Guys. Like the food's good, but those prices are just that's unsustainable. There's no chance. An American institution is being sued for an odd reason. Tell you about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Well, finally seeing a crash on our roadways. This time it's happening on the south side of Columbus, just outside of Obetz. A crash 270 westbound just passing Alum Creek Drive. That right lane is blocked, really, as well as the left and right shoulder out there. Already down to 37 miles per hour. A lot of people squeezing into this tight scene this morning. Still very active. We have multiple first responders on scene. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan Choice.
The Fan has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to The Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye Stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Just a reminder, Tyvus thinks all pizza tastes the same. Also a reminder, Tyvus was born without taste buds. You're listening to Bone and Tyvus.
Did you know you can listen to us at home? No radio? No problem. Just tell your smart speaker to play 97.1 The Fan. It's that easy. Put us right on the big screen so you can see T-Bone. You might need a wide TV if you're looking at him now.
That's what we're going for. That's exactly what we're aiming for right there. By the way, we have more of your hot takes on a Hot Take Tuesday. This comes in from Let's see. Rusty said, Hot Take Tuesday, the U.S. men's national team looked as excited and emotional last night as Tyvus getting a tour of a bakery making bread. Yeah. You wouldn't be into that. You wouldn't want that. And that's what they look like. They wanted no part of that game yesterday. Lose 4-1 to Belgium. And everything I said nice about them, gone. Wipe it away. I was wrong. I'm T-Bone. I was wrong about soccer. It's wrong a lot. But that was awful. Awful stuff there.
I also want to shout out Evan in the YouTube chat. We were talking about fries and burgers at places.
Yeah.
He said BK and McDonald's are across the street from each other. I've been known to get a Whopper and then across the street, the fries.
Hey, that's not a bad move.
My girlfriend brought this up. I think it was yesterday, actually. And she's like a real petite girl. She's not eating a lot. She's like, you know what I want to do? I want to get the fries from McDonald's, the spicy nugs from Wendy's, and then get the Whopper from Burger King. And I was like,
Jessica did
I'm
this?
About to get on the bended knee.
Jessica,
put a ring on it, Dylan. She's a keeper.
Woman. You have influenced that poor woman to
influence
this terrible behavior.
She thinks for herself, and she said, you know what? That seems like a great idea. Goodness. She's an innovator. Yeah. That's great. Good for her.
What was the last thing?
Well, she gets the Whopper Jr. So the Whopper Jr. from Burger King.
Tell her to get the Bacon King. My wife did it, and this she can't
eat the Bacon King. No, she couldn't eat the Bacon King.
You tell her because it comes originally as a double. You tell her you want the single patty.
That's loser talk.
I agree 100%. And also, it's loser talk. Two, I don't like the word patty. I've never liked it. It feels like we got to find a different word to describe the piece of meat that you get on a burger. I don't like the word patty.
When you got a bump on your face, what does it feel with?
Pus, usually. Is that what we're going for? So how would that be? Are you saying you want an adjective to describe how my face would be if it was full of pus?
Yeah, is that what you're looking at? What is it?
All right, ahead, Tyvus. Go ahead.
How you say it? I'm just
kidding. Go ahead. Whatever you want. Go right ahead. Microphone's open. Joshua Perry's on speed dial. It's fine. Go ahead and say this whenever you want, Tyvus. Go right ahead. By the way, Jim Lachey going to join Rothman and I stay 12:30. Buckeye legend. So a little off-season Buckeye talk never hurts. Rothman and I will do that with Jim Lachey coming up today, 12:30, like I said. This is a class action lawsuit I saw filed against an institution in America. There, that German dude, Fred, who came over for the World Cup, part of his love for America started at Waffle House. Waffle House apparently getting sued by an employee.
Mm-hmm.
Said they are getting sued because they had to pay extra for smoking. So a lot of workplaces have this. Your workplace may have it. Your healthcare plan, if you have one there. Ours had it this way. I think it still does. Where if you are someone who is a smoker, they offer a smoking cessation program that is paid for by the company, which you can take part in. However, if you choose not to do that and you keep smoking, they will charge you a surcharge every month for your health care because they, you know, statistically, it's believed that you will be more likely to have health issues if you're a smoker.
Okay.
Thankfully, they don't have one for being a fat ass because I would be completely bankrupt.
You know what?
But they have it for smoking. I don't know why we don't. Whatever.
I got to go to the Waffle. I haven't been to the Waffle House in probably 10 years.
Hit up Joshua. Oh, you got to go. I bet he's down to go.
Yeah, you got
to
go.
Joshua love the Waffle House like that?
Oh, yeah.
You guys live close to one. There's one up off 36 up there.
The last time that I got invited to go to the Waffle House was Cardell, actually. He was I forgot what we was doing, but he asked me, like, what do you got planned? You got anything? I guess I must have been picking them up or something. And he goes, you got it. He said, you got anything planned for in the next couple of hours? And I'm like, yeah, I need to get back to do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
He goes, dang, I wanted to go to the Waffle House. So I'm just
not
like,
bad.
Who thinks about it? It was like 11 o'clock.
You just thought about it right now. You said, when was the last time I've been to Waffle House?
We was talking about the Waffle Houses, and I just thought about, like, wow.
Do you miss it?
I don't remember.
I'm missing it right now. Just because we're talking about it.
I don't remember it.
Oh, really?
I don't remember it.
That's a shame. You got to go fix that. Go fix it after the show today. Go get some Waffle House. Take Baby Tsunami and get him involved. Nah, like, let him see what the real America is like. And that's at a Waffle House.
I have plans of going to the gym today.
Oh, that's good.
Go after or before. Just cancels each other right out.
I'm about to say, who's going to go? Why would I eat terribly then go to the gym? Like, no. Like, you got to.
Balance.
I'm trying to eat.
That's what they said. You need balance in your life.
I'm going home to just get some egg whites. Egg white delights.
So here's the thing, Bone. Like you said, like, there's other places besides Waffle House that has this policy about smoking.
Yes.
But I was surprised to see it at Waffle House. I thought they encouraged smoking, actually. I thought they encouraged their employees to smoke.
Josh just texted me and said he wants to go to the Waffle House this weekend.
Let's go. Make it happen. There you go. You should do it. Well, this Central Georgia woman is suing the Waffle House because what they said is that it's discrimination towards smokers because apparently she paid $92 a month or over $1,100 a year for the health care plan. But she says Waffle House doesn't provide any of the like smoking cessation stuff. That's like, hey, you can go get nicotine patches or whatever it is they'll pay for it to help you get done with smoking. That would help her not have to pay the surcharge. She says they didn't do that. So she's suing her and others for a whopping, I believe it's over $2 million, I want to say. I almost said $2.2 million, but I feel like that was the college player who was scamming people out of money that we talked about earlier. That's the amount he's suing for. But no, she's suing for over $5 million. That's what it is.
Oh.
So
I was about to say, if it was just two, they might be like, here, man, just here.
Can I just, it's a Hot Take Tuesday. I'm saying this not to encourage it. I am not telling the youth of America to go do this. I know it's unhealthy, but I just want to point this out. It is very unfortunate that smoking cigs looks cool as hell. Okay? It's unfortunate that it looks cool because it is wildly it's wildly unhealthy. But yes, it does look cool. I'm admitting that it looks cool. Yes, it looks cool. It's probably just my inputs growing up as a kid. But yeah, I think it looks cool.
No,
you're standing there smoking a cigarette. Yeah.
No, it's like
it's
like,
context, Tyvus. If you're outside of like a music venue and you're the drummer and you walk out and you're like light up a cigarette, it kind of looks cool at night. You're like in the alleyway. There's a light shining on it.
To me.
I know it's frowned upon. It's bad. I don't want my kids smoking. Smoking's terrible. You're not telling me Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant put a cigar in their mouth after they won that championship. You'll tell me that looked cool as hell? Smoking a cigar in the championship? Come on.
It's a cigar.
There's aura about it.
Joe Burrow did the same thing.
It's a big difference between a cigar and a cigarette.
Who is the quarterback for the Chiefs in the Super Bowl? Sitting there in the locker room smoking a cigarette. Like during the game. No, this is like Super Bowl
III.
In the
day.
It's like Super Bowl III.
Who was that? We just looked that up, and I can't remember who it was.
The point is,
Lee Dawson?
Yeah, or Len Dawson?
Len Dawson?
Yeah, I think that sounds right.
Dawson in my head sounds
right. That is not cool.
I didn't say it was cool. I said it looks cool.
It don't look cool.
All right, well, it does to me.
A squally. A square.
What's that?
A cigarette.
They call that a square?
Mm-hmm.
Don't look up what they call it in England. You don't want to look that up. That's not allowed to say that one. Where does the U.S. men's national team loss rank as far as gut punches? We'll try to piece that together next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
If you're heading up towards Blendon Township on that northeast side, we are seeing a disabled vehicle that could impact your commute. It's on 270, that northbound collector just passing Easton. That left shoulder is blocked, so keep that in mind. But for the most part, all the roads are still looking okay on this Tuesday, especially if you're traveling southbound. Only a 2-minute commute on 71 south between Frank Road and 270. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The United States men's national team's World Cup run has officially come to an end after Team USA lost to Belgium 4-1 in the round of 16. Here's Christian Pulisic on what the nation's support meant to him and the team this summer.
I mean, I'll reflect on it more, but it's been such an incredible journey. Like, this summer, I never wanted it to end, so I'm just so thankful to all the American people that supported us and gave us that boost. It was awesome. Something, you know, definitely a summer I'll never forget.
Both the Guardians and the Reds were off yesterday, but we'll be back in action tonight. Cincinnati will host the Philadelphia Phillies at 7:10, while Cleveland will visit the Minnesota Twins with first pitch at 7:40. This update is sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Warmer weather, more time outside. Summer gives weight loss a head start. Awaken 180 gives you the plan to make it happen. The official weight loss program of summer.
Sometimes when Tybus wears khaki pants, I can see the outline of his genitals. There's no joke there. It's just an observation.
God, the more I resist, the more intriguing they become. I can't look away.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tybus.
Last night, U.S. loses 4-1 to Belgium. Terrible. We've been talking about it all morning. If you've missed any of that, we've got the podcast for you. Wherever you get podcasts, just search T-Bone and Tybus. It's right there for you. It's brought to our friends, brought to you by our friends at Capital Ford of Columbus. But everywhere you go get podcasts, just search T-Bone and Tybus. Like it, add it, and, you know, follow it, that kind of thing. It helps. And if you do leave a rating, that helps other people find it too. So we appreciate that. But I stayed up last night to watch that game. Had trouble sleeping last night because I was so
bummed.
Did you
really struggle to sleep?
Dude, I knew coming into this tournament.
You emotionally invested.
Watch this U.S. men's national team the last couple years since Mauricio Pochettino took over, and it was a long process for them to get anywhere looking good. Coming into the World Cup, they did not look very good in some of their final friendly tune-up games before they played, and I thought, ugh, this is not great. But the whole thing Pochettino had said the whole time was, we'll be good when it matters. We'll be good when we get to the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Come out in the first game, win, and they win 4-1, and you're like, oh, okay, I see the plan. This is good. 4-1, regardless of who it was against, that's pretty good. Then they go out and beat Australia.
Was
and you're like,
Paraguay the first
Paraguay game? Was the first game, which, by the way, Paraguay knocked out Germany, and they went toe-to-toe with, it was the game you watched, France.
Yeah.
Remember that game?
Yeah, the flopping game.
Right. But they held France 1-0.
Yeah.
I mean, they played France pretty close, who's one of the best teams in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you're thinking, all right, they start off this tournament pretty strong. That's a good sign. They beat Australia pretty handily, and you're like, all right, this is a good sign. And they did that without Christian Pulisic, who I thought was going to be more of a factor. He was not. Then the third game didn't matter. They settled their start.
Anyway, his name through the mud today.
The point is, there was reason why a lot of us U.S. soccer fans were like, oh, okay, maybe they did actually just figure it out at the right time, and maybe they are going to make a run, and they have all these home crowds now that'll be behind them. They beat Bosnia, and you say, all right, that was a pretty classy win, how they did that. It was different than a lot of U.S. soccer teams I've seen. I started to buy into the hype, too.
I think the red card incident messed up everything.
Well,
it took too much attention.
No, karma kicked in is what happened.
Might be it. But, but again, if you watch the play, it shouldn't have been a red card. So, like, that's where I'm at with that. But it's just, I don't know. Like, well, it just seems like the universe kind of corrected itself because they should have been out. If you gave a red card, it should have just been a red card.
Well, Florin Balogun, for what it's worth, didn't really factor in anyway. He did win the foul that ended up getting the U.S. the one goal they got, which was on a free kick. Mm. But other than that, yeah, the whole team was pretty ineffective yesterday, and they looked like they were not at the level that they have to be to compete against the big boys in Europe. I saw this from Jason. It's a hot take Tuesday on your point about maybe it was karma or maybe it was something coming back to get him. Jason said, deserve to get embarrassed on the world stage. FIFA gave our leader a fake peace award. Then later he called in a favor, ass beating deserved. I don't put that on the players. They didn't ask for any of that. The players are just there, right? They're just doing their thing. I saw Florin Balogun. He went up to the Belgium coach, Rudy Garcia, I believe is his name. Went up to him afterwards and was like, hey, I just want you to know, like, I'm sorry about how this went down. I didn't ask for all this drama. And he said, it's nothing against you, dude. You're just a player. Like, we're not mad at you. We're mad at the bigger structure of this whole thing, which I'm sure that'll continue to be debated. But
I thought you were going to say, he said, I'm 1/16th Belgium. Do you think I could end up on this squad in 4 years? Because I have no idea how eligibility works when it comes to these players.
It works if you're if you live in the country, if you're a citizen of a country, or your parents are from a country, then that is kind of, or your grandparents, I think, goes back two generations. So I think it's two.
Because you told the story about him being born in Brooklyn because his mom couldn't get on the plane back to England.
Oh, absolutely. His mom was 7 months pregnant. They wouldn't let him fly out of Brooklyn, or her fly with him in her belly, because they said too pregnant to fly. She lived in London. She is from Nigeria, her and her husband, but they are England residents. I think they lived in London, but they were visiting friends in Brooklyn. So he ended up being born on U.S. soil, which instantly gives you citizenship. So that's why he had the U.S. He grew up in England, went and played in Arsenal's academy, like has really not lived in the U.S. very much at all in his life, but he is one of our stars because he's eligible to play.
Isn't J. Cole born in Germany?
Is that real?
I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I thought he was born in Germany.
U.S. soccer team used to have, and they still do have, a few guys on the team like this who they had, you know, parents who lived in Germany, and I think at least a few of them, it was because mom or dad was in the military and they were stationed there, but they were born in Germany. So yeah, there's, I didn't know that about J. Cole.
Frankfurt, West Germany.
See, look at that.
Look at that.
Look at you remembering stuff. That's good.
Oh, by the way, update.
Yeah.
Josh and I, Waffle House Sunday.
Boom. There you go. Good. This is my question for everyone when it comes to the, because I want to try to take this into an angle of college football. Because, you know, we're jonesing for some college football around here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out what program the U.S. men's national team, women's national team would be the Ohio State Buckeyes. Pretty much every year expected to win a championship, right?
Yes.
Men's team, what college football program would they most closely align with? And I want to nominate a program for
you,
okay?
We started this off by you, by somebody said Tennessee.
Well, here's what I saw. Somebody said the U.S. men's national team, whenever they play like a good European team, and the video they posted was of the Tennessee players warming up in that playoff game at Ohio Stadium with their shirts off. And I started thinking about Tennessee football.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take it from the Peyton Manning era and that whole, like, from like the early 2000s forward.
Mm-hmm.
That is a program that's in the SEC, which is believed to be a good conference. That is a program that, quite honestly, has a lot of talent that they're able to get, right? They get a ton of talent to play at Tennessee. Every few years, it seems like we hear about how Tennessee, oh, you watch, this year they're going to be a factor in the SEC. And by and large, they're disappointing. And if you want to even take it further, one of their women's teams is way better than them than they've ever been in football. Their women's basketball program is what people actually talk about at Tennessee, which is kind of like how the men's soccer and women's soccer is. But that's, I think Tennessee is the one I'm going to nominate to say that's kind of who the U.S. men's national team resembles in college.
I went Oregon.
You see, the first thought that popped in my mind was Nebraska, and then I was like, that's disrespectful because Nebraska doesn't even play big games.
But Nebraska won one. They won it before.
They won it back in the day. That's
well,
true.
Tennessee did too, but I'm saying like going from like the last 30 years,
Oregon.
Let's try to move
but
from there.
But then my mind went to Oregon with Tyvus because it's like this.
Every year, Oregon is supposed to be good. They are good. And then they get to that playoff.
And I'm sure you can compare resources because you can argue about how the best athletes in this country don't play soccer and yada, yada, yada. The population of the United States versus Belgium, like that shouldn't matter.
Yeah, what is the pop? I think Belgium's population, I thought they said was like our seventh most populous state has a similar population to Belgium. So like, this is like, I don't know. Like, what's
Belgium's population is 12 million.
I think Ohio has more people in it than Belgium.
Dang.
Ohio's close. I think we're like 8 or 10 million, if I'm not wrong. Like
Ohio's, it's very comparable. 11.9. Belgium's was 11.8.
Right. So the U.S. men's national team lost to essentially Ohio's best, like the best soccer players from just Ohio.
I mean,
that's essentially what Belgium is.
I mean, you know.
Ohio against the world, baby.
You know.
Yeah, let's do it. It's fine. But like, that's the point, right? Is that, yes, regardless of if our best athletes play this sport or not, there's 350 million people who live here. There should be 11 of them that can play soccer at a high level. And at least on the men's side, they are. Like, Christian Pulisic plays for AC Milan. You have guys who play overseas for big clubs, and they play well for those teams.
Mm-hmm.
Some happens when they get to the U.S. national team in the big games. Yesterday, it was more than just Belgium being good. It was
the lights
were too big. And I feel like that's where maybe Oregon is the better comparable. But Oregon, Tennessee, they get into the big spot, and it just completely collapses.
Oregon, have they only been in one like national championship game? What, and that was against us? Or did they go again?
I thought they went another year. Yeah, with Chip Kelly.
Oh yeah, they lost
to Auburn. Yeah, wow. And Cam Newton.
So I forgot about that.
Twice.
That's right.
They only been to the championship game twice.
But they see, I'm saying like they get to the championship game or have in their
please.
The U.S. has never gotten U.S. men's team has never gotten to the World Cup final. And I'm saying, like, that's where I put it more like a Tennessee, where it's like they get talked about, they get built up, they play in a tough conference, all that stuff. And then they go play the other big boy schools and they don't even compare.
That's Oregon.
Don't even compare.
Oregon got their doors blew off.
Well, that's fair enough. Last.
They haven't been within 21 points of a playoff win in the past 2 years, I believe.
All right. You can tweet us about that at Bone and Tyvus 971 or go to our YouTube chat. Just go to YouTube, 971 The Fan. What college football team would you put as the comparable to the U.S. men's national team as we try to piece that loss together? Speaking of college football, a couple stories here from college football. The one I want to hit on, though, is loser talk. You can't ever accuse Michigan's quarterback of loser talk after this audio. We'll play it for you next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. Well, the roads are definitely getting busier out there, especially if you're heading towards downtown. We are seeing a new crash into our newsroom. It's affecting that 71 southbound direction at US 40, also known as Broad Street out there. That right lane is blocked for you. And yes, backups are forming, starting to really extend even passing Long Street, heading closer towards 71 and 670. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
fan.org.
Bishop and Friends.
You can't bring that up in our house. I don't want to hear about it. My wife doesn't want to hear about it. So we're just going to act like it's not going to happen and then deal with it.
The days are long. The years are fast, right?
Bishop and Friends. Sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We have some areas of fog once again for the morning hours. Otherwise, skies turn partly cloudy, and they'll stay that way for the afternoon. Just like yesterday, too, we're in the mid-80s for a high with a slight chance of a stray shower or storm later on today. For tomorrow, partly cloudy skies, a little warmer, upper 80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
We're your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Tyvis Powell helped the Buckeyes win a national championship. T-Bone watched Tyvis Powell help the Buckeyes win a national championship. Equally important, you're listening to T-Bone and Tyvis.
So the question we pose to you, U.S. men's national team loses 4-1 to Belgium. What's a college football comparison? What's a reasonable one? I said Tennessee. Tyvis, you and Dylan both, I think, said Oregon?
Correct.
I think Oregon's too good.
They said,
like, Belgium is more like an Oregon because Belgium has finished like second and third in the World Cup final. They've never won it, but they've come really close to winning it.
A lot. Two people in the chat said Penn State. Josh said Penn State.
That was actually idiot. Penn State's not bad. Joshua Perry said Penn State good until they got to play someone. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of fair. Certainly under James Franklin, that era, where you would largely say every time it's like, oh, Penn State's going to do something here. And then they play the Buckeyes, fall on their face, play someone else, fall on their face, and then miss the playoffs or be bad in the playoffs. They got there. John said Mexico would be Tennessee. All right. I said Tennessee for the U.S., but that's fair.
The U.S. Will be Texas Tech. Big Soresby.
Yeah, well, you know what happened yesterday? That's right. You got the government involved trying to get this guy on the field. Yeah, that's fair. Let's see. John said Germany would be Ohio State. U.S. would be Texas A&M. That's interesting on the Germany front, too, because they've won the World Cup before. They are expected to win it every year.
I started off saying Texas A&M when you first asked.
Yeah, Texas A&M I could see being a good one too for the U.S. men's national team. And they get, you know what is fair with that? There's a lot of, they're in a great state for football, mm-hmm. right? They have a big population of football players in Texas. So people think Texas A&M should be good. Money's not an issue, right? Interest level, not an issue at Texas A&M. They can hire great coaches, or at least coaches with big names.
Although last year they was doing well, and I feel like nobody believed in them.
When's the last time Texas A&M won a national championship? Doesn't it go back to like...
I have no idea.
Back in the 60s or something? I mean, I'm trying to think of when the last time they won anything like that.
But still, they was undefeated for like the majority of the season. And everybody,
they haven't won the championship since 1939.
Whoa!
What?
Oh, oh. Yeah, that actually might... Because the U.S. finished third in the 1930 World Cup, I believe, the first one. 100-year anniversary of the World Cup is coming up in the next one. You know, obviously 2030. That'll be its own celebration. But like that, I feel like we've never hit that peak again. So that, yeah, that kind of, that could have a little bit of Texas A&M on it for sure. Because they never live up to the expectation. They also get expectations that, quite honestly, they probably don't warrant. Every year Texas A&M gets this like, oh, you watch this year, they're going to be awesome. And then they're okay. Texas A&M had that game last year, remember, where they let South Carolina beat them by like 30, and then they came all the way back and won it, but they were down 30 in that game. All right, keep
them
coming
in. What if we flush the past few years from our mind?
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin.
Oh, like you're talking Wisconsin for the majority of
like
the last 30 years, not the one from the last couple here.
The team, they're Iowa. You just kind of, they're not going to ever...
U.S. soccer?
I feel like they just don't get pet. They're going to go to 16. They're going to get to the round of 16, and that's just going to be what it is. So you just kinda...
Iowa, you can pencil in for probably about 8 or 9 wins most years.
Right.
Will they ever challenge is anyone ever who's a blue blood in college football. If they drew Iowa in the, I don't know, 12-team playoffs, would you be like, oh my God, it's Iowa? Or would if we go out and play our game, we're going to mop the floor with
you
that.
They're respectable enough that you can't fall asleep because they can beat you.
Yeah. And they play good defense and all that stuff.
Yes,
you should be able to. Iowa's not bad. And that's depressing as hell, by the way, because if I were an Iowa football fan, I'd probably just quit watching college football. That's just so depressing to just know, like, you have no shot to win every single year, but you're going to have the same coach out there. The difference is that the U.S. national team changes coaches in an effort to try to get better. Iowa will never change until Kirk Ferentz decides to step down. That's never happened.
Yeah, they're just good defense. Hopefully get their resident annual CWB to return a punt for a touchdown. Like, that's all Iowa is every year.
Yeah. My boy, who got Caden Wheaton? There you go. That dude.
You love Caden Wheaton. You love him.
That dude's black. I'm telling you.
I don't know what he is, but
he went to Pittsburgh.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, there you go.
Fourth round pick.
By the way, Radu in the chat said that Croatia's comp would be Oregon, and that is actually Croatia finishes like they finished second or third multiple times. They just never have gotten over the hump, but they are always loaded with talent, always really good, just never get over that hump. But not this year. They didn't get out of, they're already out of the tournament.
Christian Pulisic's hearing all this talk. He's going to go play for Croatia. He doesn't need to hear any of this.
He's going to transfer portal in.
Yeah. Portal.
There we go. Exactly right. All right. So this is, I heard this is from Bryce Underwood. This is from last week, but he was at a football camp and I want to be clear. He was being asked this question about how he views himself, but definitely not loser talk, what he is saying. This is Bryce Underwood talking about, his legacy.
I want to prove to myself that I am what I think I am. That's really it.
And what do you think you are at this stage?
I feel like I'm the best player to ever come out of Michigan. Now it's time for me to show that.
Why do you think that?
Because I worked for it.
Mm-hmm. Are you working harder now, you think, with this staff?
I'm working smarter than I was last year. So just blessed for the season to come up.
Okay. So, Bess, if you didn't catch all that, he was asked if he thinks he's, where does he think he is right now? He says, I'm the best player to come out of Michigan. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he means high school players from the state.
Yes.
If he thinks he's the best player to come out of Michigan, the University of Michigan, that's that. Right. Okay. Yes. Let's just say he thinks he's the best high school, which is still probably but Michigan high school football, not tremendous. I'll give him that.
Right. Like, it's Jerome Bettis.
Okay.
And then I don't know, but Aiden Hutchinson.
All right. But all those guys that we're talking about have actually, like, those guys specifically, at least in Jerome Bettis' case, like, you know, good, not a good NFL career, a great NFL career. But also beyond that, how many guys in the state of Michigan have actually made it to the NFL? Dozens of them. I'm not convinced this dude's making it to the NFL right now.
Oh, man.
The way he's playing, like, there's no chance. if this is what you get, you're drafting him basically as a project and asking him to switch positions probably just because of his size. But there's no, like, what has he shown you that he can actually do on a football field? Now, maybe it's all changing because he's getting actual coaching this year. He doesn't have a perpetually horny offensive coach trying to help him out. But
there's been multiple, like, national talking heads that have been like, I've been to Michigan's training camp and he's ass. He can't throw.
Right.
Like,
he's working smarter. Didn't you hear him? You're just too stupid to realize. It's all those talking heads. They didn't see it. You're too dumb to realize what's going on.
He got a chance.
If you are listening to these people, his path to the NFL might be like with Eastern or Western Michigan, not.
I'm joking, but clearly, like, people who have been around the program say they're not convinced he's starting this year.
I'm looking at the people that was born up there. Max Crosby?
Okay. I didn't know that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Hey, there you go.
Brandon Graham, Jack Conklin, Matt Judon.
All right. All those guys.
They got a shot.
He's got a shot?
Yeah, I mean, he significantly has to turn it around.
It
has to be like night and day.
And theoretically, I have a shot at winning a marathon. But realistically, That sounds impossible. Like, I don't know how or what you've seen from this guy to believe. And I was someone who was high on him early last year because I watched some early footage.
Game week one, you was like, oh, we shouldn't be talking Arch Manning. We should be talking that guy.
I said he looked a little scary to me if he ever gets his mechanics right. He's raw, but he's got some talent. And then he never got better.
Like I believe you said that after they played the New Mexico logo.
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, it was a great idea by me to go on there and stake my claim based on the New Mexico defense that this guy was legit. Learned my lesson. But I'm just saying now, like, what have we seen from him? Like, he devolved as a player last year. He did not, like, evolve and get better as a player. There's no chance of that. So is he going to take those steps this year? Yeah, there's a possibility he could do that this year. But we've seen nothing so far to justify, I think I'm the best player to come out of Michigan. Like, good for him for having confidence, I guess. I don't see it. But
I mean, I'm not mad at him for saying those comments. I tell you what, if he don't live up to, if he have a bad season or anything like he had last year, they going to run him out of there.
Do you know your schedule for the tailgate show yet?
I know week one, I know we open up with three bangers. I think we start week one here. I think it's here, Penn State, Indiana, maybe.
I was wondering if you were going to Michigan early and you can watch it practice. And
I think that's our first three. I think it's here, Penn State, Indiana, or it's, it. I think, I don't know. I haven't looked at it.
Okay, this is good. Hopefully, we'll get your schedule and figure out where you're going to be, and then we can watch you on TV. By the way, back on that discussion about which program is U.S. soccer in college football. We had a few more suggestions pop in here. Tommy Pockets dropped in with a banger. Italy is Nebraska. Once great, now irrelevant. Did you know, because you would think Italy a good team, right?
You would think.
You've assumed that Italy has like a ton of talent. You know they've missed the last three World Cups?
They haven't even got in.
Didn't get in. Like, didn't make it in.
Hey, with Jamaica.
Bad. Like, I'm just saying, that's Nebraska to Italy as a, that's a very good comparison because you couldn't tell people that Italy was great. They've won World Cups. Like, they're awesome.
Yeah.
Nebraska won national championships a billion years ago. No one thinks of them now like that. Matt Rhule.
There's still no reason for Italy not to make it, but I learned yesterday on Common Man and Timmy that World Cup qualifying is based off of region. It's not just the best, like, 36 or now 48 teams. I didn't know that.
They're in a tough region.
Yeah.
That is why they haven't qualified, but still, they're Italy. Like, sure, it's tough, but you're supposed to be. They're still ranked as, like, the top. They're, like, a top 15 program in the world, supposedly, who misses the World Cup three straight years. That's Nebraska. It's bizarre. One of the worst officials in the history of sports is retiring. We'll tell you who in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Still closely watching some major backups over on the south side after a crash in that westbound direction of 270. All of this happening just past Allen Creek Drive and right before that 23 area. That right lane is blocked out there. Still, don't like to see these drive times. 41 miles per hour for your speeds. The backups, traffic extending towards 270 and 33 if you can. Take State Route 104 to get around all this traffic. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan
Talk. T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Tyvus has a bum wrist from playing football. Bone has a bum wrist from opening the heavy doors at Sheetz. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Ryan Baker.
He's on fire today.
We're off air having lots of soccer discussion with Ryan Baker and lots of Jackets discussions. So, yeah, tune in. Bishop and Friends, Ryan Baker, heavily featured, 9 to noon, right here on The Fan. They're going to have a lot of fun today.
Baker is one of the people that don't appreciate Kyrie Irving either.
What do you mean, doesn't appreciate?
Like, just the skill that a player has.
You have such a weird look at him, where anybody who says, like, no, Kyrie's awesome, however, he has flaws, and those flaws can be annoying, or his availability has been annoying.
I need to know on the court.
There's more than just
on the court.
Yes, when he's on the court, he's awesome.
That's all, yeah.
Agreed.
All the other stuff is relevant.
I don't know that it is, though. Because,
it is. Like, I'm talking about the basketball player, okay. Kyrie. Yeah.
When Christian Pulisic has been healthy, he has been awesome. Do you know the problem with Christian Pulisic? He's hurt all the freaking time. He had to come out of the game yesterday because he got hurt yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Got hurt in the game yesterday. He got hurt earlier in this tournament. He's always hurt.
He wasn't doing nothing before he got hurt.
Yeah,
He's going up against a better team. There's that, too.
An interview clip circling around from Tristan Thompson being on Club Shay Shay with Shannon Sharp, and he said that Kyrie knew he was better than Steph. It's a hot take Tuesday. Oh. Kyrie Irving cooking Steph every single time they're on the same court at the same time.
What does that have to do? Did I miss something where the NBA became a one-on-one league?
That's all.
If it was a one-on-one league, then sure, but that's not. Like Steph Curry is a far better player than Kyrie Irving.
That if Kyrie was 2 inches taller, he'd be the best player ever.
That's great. And if I was 100 pounds lighter, my bed wouldn't squeak so much. What does that mean? Like, I don't understand.
Kyrie wasn't a head case and would have just chilled in Cleveland, we would talk about him in the same breath as Steph Curry.
But he is a head case, yes. And he didn't just chill in Cleveland, and he has a whole legacy that followed him after that we have to factor in. That's all I'm saying, right?
Stick to the court.
When he's on it, he's great. I'm sure Duke fans look back longingly at the 9 games he played for them the 1 year he was there. Yeah, that's fantastic. What are we talking about? You have to take the whole picture. At least I do. So one of the worst umpires in the history of baseball retiring. And I love this for him. You remember how much, Tyvus, I love C.B. Bucknor.
You're the only reason I know who he is. Because you tell me how much
you should watch more baseball. Because if you watch games that he's in, you know how bad he is. He has been awful for a long time.
The correct system has gotten him out. Huh? He done with this.
Well, ABS did it to him.
So there's a couple factors here. But yes, the new ABS system came in. And some of these umpires have struggled with it. C.B. Bucknor famously, like,
he
in one of the first games
twice.
And both times he got challenged and he walked. What a bat! It was brutal. I think in that game, didn't he have like 6 of them that got overturned like in a couple innings?
How does he compare to Angel Hernandez? Like, are they just
that's a race for the bottom, my friend, as far as some of the worst umpires. C.B. Bucknor had a game this year where it was a Brewers game, and like ball was hit to the second baseman. He goes to throw the first, and he just completely biffs the throw, throws it into the stands, essentially. C.B. Bucknor, like, they get the ball back. It doesn't actually go in the stands. It hits, like, the wall. They pick it up. They tag the guy because he ran through first base, didn't turn, just ran through first base, and then walked back to the base. C.B. Bucknor said he didn't touch first base when he initially ran through it. They went to replay. It's like his foot didn't just touch first base. It solely landed on first. It didn't even touch the dirt. It was all on base, and C.B. Bucknor's eyes were, like, looking somewhere else. He was the first base ump, and he was like, he didn't touch the bag. And they instantly overturned him because he's so bad.
He retired for
so bad. He is one of 7 major league umpires to accept such a package.
Oh, man.
Longtime umpires Laz Diaz, Brian Onora, Lance Barksdale, Marvin Hudson, Tony Randazzo, and Andy Fletcher have also decided to retire ahead of next year. So, hey, man. ABS came in, and these guys, obviously, some of them looked really bad. And then Major League Baseball said, hey, if you want, we can pay you to go. We'll give you like a retirement package. We'll let you retire a little early. And they said, yeah, I'm going to take that. I'm going to get out of here. And C.B. Bucknor is doing that. So you only have a few more months. So I would recommend finding out when he is umpiring a game, because now he is on like, I'm getting out of school time. You know, like the last week of school vacation, he's had a long career. I would guess you are going to see some wild punch outs that are instantly going to be overturned by ABS. It's going to, but he's not going to care. He's going to be like, all right, whatever. I'm retiring. Tap your helmet. Who gives a bleep?
He's not going
to care. Kudos to the MLB though, for being like, you're old, you're blind, and you suck. You could go ahead and get the hell out of here. The NFL, you know what? Any league, the NFL, college football, NBA, they should take note. And they should start evaluating these older dudes that don't have it anymore and being like, you could go ahead and retire early. Here's some extra cash for you to go away.
I love it. I think it's a great thing. They accepted a buyout offer from the league. All those guys that I mentioned did. But C.B. Bucknor, done with Major League Baseball. So good. I'm glad to hear it. It is a hot take Tuesday. Let's see here. This is from Blues Karuski 54. He said about soccer, it's not more popular. It's a ridiculous hype thing. Nobody in the U.S. would dial in week after week for games. Well, I mean, that's just not true.
But some people dive. They get the Apple subscription for MLS.
There's that. I mean, I think you would have to go down and tell all the Nordica people that, like, you don't dial in for soccer every week. You're just all posers who don't really care about the sport. Like, I mean, there are plenty of season ticket holders at crew games that would beg to differ with you. There are plenty of bars in this town, let alone across the country, that are full of Premier League supporters clubs every single weekend watching games for teams that don't even play on this continent.
And you could watch that. They're on USA Network and like Peacock Premier League.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're all, I mean, every game, if you have Peacock, you can watch, it's like the NFL ticket. Like, you can watch every game. They're all on Peacock.
My brother-in-law is a big Chelsea fan. He watches all their games.
He's a poser. Yeah. This is all fake. He doesn't actually care. Like, him and Joshua Perry were both saying that in the chat today, that there's just, oh, these guys don't really care about soccer. It's like, I acknowledge the 30 million people that watched Bosnia-USA back last week. Like, sure, I don't think you're going to get 30 million people to watch every single MLS game. Far from it. But I do think that there was some significant interest from people over the World Cup. And I do think people will still watch the rest of the World Cup. Not as many, first of all,
the World Cup is on at a wonderful time. It's that baseball and the WNBA. That's what you're choosing from.
That's exactly right.
And for this to be U.S. is like, oh, we can, you know, relate. I want to see the U.S. do well. So people will turn it on and watch it.
And I know that there are going to be those people who just watch the U.S. games who are going to be like, okay, I'm done now with the World Cup. That's fine. Glad you, by the way, I want to say as a soccer fan, I don't call you a poser. Glad you dropped in for a little bit. Hope you enjoyed your time with soccer.
Baker said,
see you in 4 years, if nothing else.
Baker's only watched 2 seconds of this whole cup.
If you don't want to watch, that's fine. You're just missing out on something that's entertaining, at least to millions of us in this country. But that's fine.
He watched every minute of the U.S. Hockey team.
He likes hockey. He's a hockey guy. I'm a soccer guy. I get it. There's just, you like certain sports. You don't care as much for other sports. That's fine.
American is what I'm saying.
How many games did you check in on, Tyvus, by the way, just while we're talking about being American, since apparently the McCarthy hearings just showed up on
this weekend.
This show.
I watched a handful of games.
Did you really?
Yeah, because my family from Tennessee, that's all they wanted to watch.
Okay. How many did you watch when you were in charge of the TV?
Say zero.
I would tune in for a little bit to a couple.
How many minutes?
So let me tell you, 10 minutes? So let me tell you why. Because when you got YouTube TV and the game is on, if you turn the TV on, my TV naturally goes to that game.
Yeah, it pulls it up for
you.
Right,
so when you cut it on, it's automatically on that. You have to turn away from that.
Right.
So therefore, I would look at it and be like, oh, well, let me look at this for a little bit. Then it'll get boring to me, and then I'll turn to something else.
Yeah.
But I also don't watch TV, so.
That's fine. I'm just saying, go ahead.
I only watched the last 40 minutes of the Bosnia match.
Okay.
That's all I watched.
Did you find that to be at all entertaining or no?
Yeah, I was entertained by it. Then I was mad that they sing Country Roads after.
Well, guess what? They're done singing that for now.
I'm still mad at all the flopping that was going on in that France and Paraguay.
I watched that whole game,
and I'm just like, this is ridiculous.
I do blame the ref for that, though, going like, this is the CB Bucknor of FIFA refs was doing that game. Because legitimately, there have been some games where the referee goes up to the guy when they do that and goes, nope, I see exactly what you're doing. If you do that again, I'm giving you a yellow card. And then those games have been far less flopping. That referee had no control, let it get out of hand. And it sucks when they do that. I agree with you. As a soccer fan, we don't like to see it either, for whatever that's worth.
To the point you made earlier, Bone, I do think it's weird that people that are quote unquote like really big U.S. soccer fans, that they then want to like gatekeep their sport while saying that they want it to get better. Like, how else is it going to be if you don't have new people starting to watch?
I don't care. When I go to a soccer bar, if I'm there and someone next to me is like, who's this guy? Christian Pulisic? I don't know. Or like, who's the guy with the bald head who's wearing the clearly obvious toupee? And it's like, oh, that's Landon Donovan. What's he ever done? It's like, if you don't know those players, that's fine. I do. And I'm happy to tell you about them. I will gladly like evangelize the sport if you want me to. I try not to be annoying. That's my problem. Because then I will see someone like that and go, wow, Landon Donovan scored against Algeria. And then I'll like start rattling off stats and they're like, okay, I'm done. I don't want to hear it. But yeah, I have no problem. If you don't know the sport and you just want to come wander into a soccer bar, I hope I run into you because I would gladly welcome you in to the soccer fan
community. You're a man of the people.
Yeah, I just don't. I hate the gatekeeping stuff from soccer fans. It's the worst thing that people don't know.
Christian Pulisic.
That would be you.
I like it that you would have his jersey on too, and you're like, I just learned about him this week. Actually, he's great. All right, we'll hit the buzzer next. T-Bone and Tyve is on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Still watching some backups for
forming as you're making your way towards the city of Columbus downtown. We have that crash, 71 southbound. Yes, that right lane and right shoulder is currently blocked out there right at that 40 and Broad Street area. A heads up, still an active scene. We are waiting for a tow truck to arrive out there. At least some better news for our east side drivers, especially if you're heading towards the airport. 270 southbound's looking great. Even 670 westbound as you make your way once again downtown. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
Common Man and Timmy.
This is what happens when you're married a certain amount of time. You do things out of spite.
I'm going to wear them harder and faster.
I am.
And thicker.
Common Man and Timmy, afternoons on the Fan, is sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company. The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Airflow Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
T-Bone would like to take a second to remind everyone that Eddie George is awesome. And that Ronnie James Dio was an American treasure. And that pickles are gross. Thank you. Here's T-Bone and Tybus.
Joining the program for the final segment, Eric Reeser. Let me ask you, bigger story, the U.S. national team winning the World Cup, or LeBron returning to Cleveland? Which one would be bigger?
The U.S. national team winning the World Cup.
Okay. I'm glad you think so.
Because LeBron returning to Cleveland feels more likely to happen. I don't think the United States will ever win the World Cup on the men's side.
Well, that's been...
Ever?
You know,
ever.
Dang!
You saw last night the talent disparity.
Dang!
And right. They're Belgium, Spain, England, they're playing a different sport.
Oh yeah, that's we would have these
Norway.
Would you rathers.
If you had a son, would you put him in soccer?
No, I'd put him in golf. I'd see if he takes to golf, and I'd say play that.
You part
you
of
think Patrick Harrington?
You part of
that's
the
career.
That you part of the problem.
I don't see it that way, but sure.
And
because
then
they said that the best athletes aren't playing sport or soccer.
Okay, so I'm not going to funnel. So first off, my child's going to be vertically challenged, athletic,
perfect.
And severely undercoordinated. So there's no chance my kid, if my hypothetical, is going to save U.S. men's soccer.
Is it Messi like 5'6"?
Yeah, but I will.
Yeah,
I
but
will,
he's coordinated. He's
I want to push back on that.
He's one of the best athletes Argentina's ever produced in the history of that country.
I will
think
say,
of Erling Haaland.
Yeah, go ahead.
Best athlete Norway's ever produced.
Yeah, he has to be in the conversation,
those guys,
right?
For Belgium last night, those are the best athletes that country has.
It's yeah, just, so it's not necessarily
not
the type
for
of
America.
Athlete.
Yeah.
Right. No, I get that. And I do think, to your point, like a lot of people do point out that Messi, and I've done it, is like, you know, 5'6" or something like that. But he's also Lionel Messi. He may be the greatest.
He's a unicorn.
Yeah.
Until,
like, if you go look at most national teams, they have three or four guys who... Just walking off the bus, you'd think, does this guy play like defensive back in the NFL or something? Like, it's not like they have guys who are all 5'8" and 130 pounds. Like, they have great athletes. Now, they don't have guys who are 6'8", 260 like LeBron, but that's not the sport. Mm-hmm. They, to Reeser's point, the best athletes who are the size that makes sense to play soccer in most of those countries. Here, there's a very small chance they play soccer. They probably play one of the many other sports that are kind of big here. So yeah, it's reasonable.
It stinks.
Yeah, it does. And it's annoying every 4 years I have to talk about it like that. But it's true. It's accurate. It's I don't know what we do about that.
And I hope it doesn't take away from the incredible run that they had. But and we'll talk about this on Bishop and Friends. Justin Zwick's in with us today for the 3 hours, 9 to noon. We'll get Dom Tiberi at 10:30. He had an interesting night. Outside of, I'm sure, paying attention to Team USA and Belgium. And then he's got a month left to go in his retirement. It's back to work, kids.
Ohio, yeah, that's right.
Ohio State's got fall camp.
Yeah.
Coming up in a month. All right, Dom. Hope you're stretching. But
yeah,
Team USA's dismissal last night reminded me of the Eastern Conference Finals for the Cavs.
Oh.
Because expectations were, hey, get there. Be competitive when you're there. Like, I didn't expect the Cavs to win the Eastern Conference Championship.
Oh, I
didn't
I
expect Team USA to advance into the quarterfinals, but I expected them to be competitive in every single game and in every single match. And that was not the case for the Cavs. It was not the case for Team USA last night.
That's a very good call. We were also making other sport comparisons with U.S. soccer. We threw out this question, Reese. I'm curious what you think. What college football program would the U.S. men's national team be? This came up because someone tweeted out the video of the Tennessee players warming up before the game against Ohio State and said the U.S. men's national team last night. Mm-hmm. And it was that of the guys with their shirts off, and you're like, they're acting like they're all tough, and in reality they didn't belong on the field with Ohio State. That's how it felt yesterday with the U.S. and Belgium. Do you have a comp that makes sense for college football?
I was gonna say Rutgers.
Dang, there was a hot minute.
Remember Rutgers? 2005 Rutgers.
Hey, you know what though? That's okay. I see your angle there.
Top five.
No, the
U.S. upset in 2002 Wednesday or Thursday.
The U.S. had a bunch of guys that did not. Far. You would probably not have thought would be the best U.S. national team, but they went all the way to the quarterfinals. They played Germany to like a 1-0 game. There was a handball in that game that should have been changed. Germany ended up being, I think. They either played in the final or they won the tournament that year. Anyway, the point is Rutgers had a moment, but then ever since it's been pretty much, that's an interesting angle.
Because they're still competing with the biggest names in the sport. Like Ohio State is France, and Rutgers is still trying to compete with Ohio State. And everybody around it goes, that's not the same thing.
Yeah, that's... That sucks, is what I'm going to say. That really sucks, but it's not inaccurate.
I'd rather Iowa.
we said Iowa was one too, where it's like, yeah, they're always good, but are they going to threaten for anything?
No.
Never. All right, well, more of that discussion. And, of course, Bishop and Friends, 9 to noon, right here on The Fan.
Shove it down your throat.
It's time for The Buzzer.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Don't go through another air conditioner breakdown. For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day air installation.
Should have said more of that discussion. I'm going to post it on our Twitter handle, at Bone and Tyvus 971. So jump in there if you want to continue to weigh in off the air. Bad news, Central Ohio, there's this this case of this, I don't know, it's called a Cyclospora keatinensis. It's a microscopic parasite that's been making its way around the U.S.
Is this the diarrhea thing?
It causes explosive diarrhea. Yeah. It's actually, I'm reading this from 10TV's website. That's what it says in their headline.
Explosive, huh?
State of Ohio has reported nearly 200 cases of this illness. They do say that it appears, they're not sure exactly what it's linked to, but some of the best guesses are that it has to do with raw vegetables, raw fruit. So be careful with that. Make sure you're cleaning your fruits and vegetables. They say firm fruit, vegetables, melons should be scrubbed with a clean produce brush. Also, if you're eating like lettuce, stuff like that, make sure you're getting it from the head of lettuce. Maybe take the first 2 or 3 leaves off the head of lettuce and then rinse it clean.
I wouldn't scrub. I don't scrub fruit and produce. I don't want to besmirch anybody that does, but who doesn't rinse at least?
Yeah, I hope agree with that. You got it. Yeah,
bring
it
home from the grocery store, whether it's fruit or whether it's produce.
Somebody that's extremely
any
hungry.
Kind of produce, rinse it.
Thank God I don't eat any fruits or vegetables, and I don't have to worry about.
You can avoid that.
there you go.
Very simple thing.
One way to have a healthy lifestyle. There you go, Dylan. Exactly right.
Don't listen to Dylan.
Bishop and Friends coming up next. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow. It's T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Speeds getting slower out here, 71 in that northbound direction over by Greenlawn Avenue for drivers heading up towards that 70, 71, and 315 interchange. Just an early heads up for you out there. Before East Side drivers, it's been a really easy commute for you on this Tuesday morning. No issues to report whatsoever, especially 70 westbound over by Bryce Road. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan traffic. Have a